Okay, we're about to begin the Maamar of Parshas Vayeshev, on page 54 in Torah Or. The Maamar begins with the words, V'hinei anachnu ma'almim alumim. This week in the Torah portion we have the dramatic story of Yosef and his brothers, and how Yosef, being the firstborn of Yaakov's beloved wife, Rachel, was given special treatment by Yaakov, and that Yaakov treated Yosef in a special way, made him a ksenas pasim. Yosef seemingly, at least on the outside, seemed to have some type of an arrogant nature to himself, or acted in that manner, thereby enticing the jealousy of the brothers. And particularly he was telling them about dreams that he had, dreams that somehow conveyed the message that Yosef saw himself as far more superior, to be superior to the brothers, and that they're all that he's going to have a sovereignty over them. And he had two dreams. The first dream that he related to the brothers, he wasn't bashful in his dreams. He related these dreams to his brothers, and he said to them as follows: we're all standing outside, and we're bundling bundles. We're bundling sheaves. There is grain, and with the grain you have to like gather the grain together, and you have to tie them. And that's what we're doing. And then each of us, all of the 11 of us, gathered bundles, or made the bundles. And then your 10 bundles surrounded my bundle. My bundle got in the middle and stood up. Kuma alimasi. My sheaves stood up, and your sheaves surrounded my sheave. And vatishtachavena, and they bowed down alimasi to my sheave. Kind of strange dream, and this was sort of imparting the message to them that Yosef said, "I'm the ruler." But if it was only about Yosef being the ruler and being the king, why the emphasis on? Why is it so much about the bundles? And, we're all sitting out there in the field, and I stand in the middle, and you're all bowing down to me. Why? What's the symbolism? What was the symbolism in this concept of this idea of the bundles? So this is what we're going to discuss and learn over here. The idea of what does it mean to bundle sheaves? And really, in the eyes of Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, the Alter Rebbe, the bundling of bundles is really the putting together the sheaves is the purpose of the Jewish people. And that's why the 12 tribes were busy doing this. They were all making sheaves. But Yosef's soul was a superior soul, came from a much higher place than all the other tribes. And therefore, in order to culminate the service of the Jewish people, it must be handed over to Yosef. And Yosef finishes the job. Similar to this, that sometimes Hasidim feel, you know, we do our avodah and we do our things, but then we complete it and we bring it to a Rebbe. And the Rebbe is supposed to perfect it to a much higher level of perfection. The idea that when the Jews built the Mishkan, they completed the Mishkan and then they brought it to Moshe. And Moshe was the one who put it up. Moshe had to put it up because to bring down and to actualize the divine presence, ordinary mortal human beings couldn't do it. There's something special about the tzaddik, someone that is a completely higher soul, and that's what Yosef represented. So really, as we're going to learn in this maamar, that all these people that are discussed in the Torah, the Avos and the patriarchs and all these holy people, they were not just holy people, they were incarnations of divine attributes, of extremely spiritual, of levels, attributes of divinity, and their lives down here below were orchestrated by God to sort of express the content and the way, the roles of these specific attributes and how they interact one with each other. Let's learn inside. Hinei anachnu ma'almim alumim, and behold, we were bundling sheaves. Ksivit says, Eila hamalachim ashamolch. These are the kings that reigned. Last week in the Parsha, Parsha's Vayishlach. Now it's interesting that this week's Torah or discussion is going to, it starts off where last week's discussion left us. Last week we had a long and elaborate discussion about the realm of Toyu and Tikkun. We spoke about that there was a world that preceded our world. Our world down here below, our world that we live in now is called the world of rectification, the world of Tikkun. But there was a world that preceded this world called the realms of Toyu, the realms of chaos. And last week the discussion went on the idea that Esav was Yaakov's brother. Esav, he originated in the realms of Toyu. And the realms of Toyu had extremely potent energy. The energy of Toyu was too intense, and there was a shattering of the vessels, because the containers that had to contain God's light in the realm of Toyu were too narrow and small, and they were weak. They couldn't contain the abundant light, divine radiance that emanated in them, and they collapsed. And then God reintroduced the new light into the world. This was already a diminished light that wasn't as powerful as before. The vessels were able to contain it, and based on that, he constructed the world. Now, as we spoke last week, it wasn't a mistake. It wasn't that God overestimated the power of the retainment of these vessels. It was intentionally orchestrated by Hashem that these vessels would collapse. And last week we were discussing mainly the superiority of the energy of Toyu. The Toyu is far superior to Tikkun, and that's why Esav, who stems from Toyu, really is linked up to a very high place. Yaakov originates in the divine scheme of things from a lower place. But Yaakov is the one, however, that doesn't come from a collapsed world. He comes from a world that is where there's clarity, where he's still connected with God. And Yaakov has to rectify Esav. He has to rehabilitate him. But once he really rehabilitates Esav, and Esav goes back to his source, then Yaakov takes the energy of Esav into himself and into the world. Esav really has a higher place. What we mainly discussed last week was the energy of Toyu that remained after the vessels collapsed and they shattered into and fragmented into many different pieces. The energy of Toyu went back up to its source. And the objective is to get back to that potent raw energy of Toyu and draw it back into the vessels. That was what we spoke last week. In this mimer, in the discussion we're going to talk today, we're going to deal more with the shattered pieces that we have to go about picking up. Because when we say that God reconstructed the world and He created the world with a new energy and Tikkun, but it was really the world that Hashem created is a blend. It's Tikkun light and with Tikkun vessels, but it's built on the shards of Toyu, on the pieces of Toyu. And that's why there's much chaos in the world, much fragmentation in the world. And the idea of the purpose of creation and the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs and the Jewish people is to pick up these shards and bring them all together again. And that's what he's introducing the idea over here, that there were this idea that there was a world of Toyu that preceded our world, which was a higher order of divine energy that was existed before the present world as we know now, is symbolized in the end of last week's Torah portion, where it speaks in Parshas Vayishlach. It speaks about seven kings. Seven kings of last week in the Parsha. It says that Elam Malachim Asher Molchu, these were the kings that reigned, Lefnei Malach Melech Lebnei Yisrael, before the Jewish kings. We mentioned above, before, the Jewish people stemmed from the realm of Tikkun. There were kings who reigned before the world of Tikkun, referred to the root of Esau, who was Edom, the root of Esau, the Edomites. They come from that, maybe that's why they're red, representing the idea Edom, of intense energy. Which red symbolizes energy and blood. So that's the intensity of Edom. And it says in the verses over there, there was a king and he reigned and he collapsed and he died. And then there came the next king and he died. And it mentions seven kings. And the eighth king doesn't say that he died. It says by the seven kings, he ruled and he died. He ruled and he died. And that was symbolizing this realm of the collapsing of the vessels of Toyu. Those kings represent the seven divine emotions. Because the world of Toyu was divine emanations, particularly the seven emotions. Last week we discussed why the collapsing took place, particularly in the world of emotions, not in the world of intelligence. But That's the idea of Vayimloch Vayamos. So he says, so now let's read inside. It says, Eilah HaMalachim, these are the kings, Asha Mochu, that reigns, Shehen Zayin, Malkin Kadmot, these are the seven original Kadmot, ancient kings, the Toyu of the world of Toyu, of the world of the chaotic world of Toyu, Shenaflu B'Shvidas HaKelim Lamata, that they have collapsed and they have fallen. During the collapsing of the vessels, they fell down below. And where did they fall? L'shem Ban Da'atzilus. They fell down to the name of 52. The name of Ban, it's referring to a divine name called Ban, in the world of Atzilus. Mikoyer Debiyah, which is the root and the source of the three latter worlds, which are called Bria, the world of creation, Yitzira, the world of formation, and Asiya, the world of Asiya, the world of action. V'zeu inyan misas amalachim, and this is the idea of them dying, meaning these vessels fell down and collapsed. Ki yidu, as it is known, just to have a little bit understanding of what is being said, he's going to the Maimon in general is a very easy read this week. It flows. Just a couple of points to be able to open up the subject so we understand. The collapsing of the vessels of Toyu is really comes to explain one aspect, meaning it addresses basically the reason why the Kabbalists speak about this realm of Toyu that collapsed is to explain the reason why they speak about this collapsing of the vessels. I mean, why is this? Why? What is the justification, or why was this necessary in the development of the creation, or the bringing about the creation? And that is because the question is as follows: we look at the world, and we see a world that is extremely diverse. There's multitudes of creations, various creations, each one with their own character and personality. So the world is a world of multiplicity, of diversity. God, we know, is the essence of singularity, of oneness. Hashem Echad, God is one. He has no, there is absolute oneness, there isn't any, there's no plural, there's no many, and there's also no specific character, he's not a component for many different things. He's a singular being that transcends all form and all. So the question is, how do we get a world that is so diverse, so many plants, so many different species of birds, so many different animals, so many different, every human being is a world onto its own being and its own. How do we get so many shapes and forms from a singular being that is beyond usually what can create various structures if you have a few ingredients and you mix them together? But you have to start with a few things. If you start just with one, what can you make if you all you have is a substance of plain water? What would you be able to do with that water? Is all you have, you'll always, as much as you'll play around with it, you'll stay with water. But to be able, and if you could, it's because water itself is a composite of whatever elements. But to start with the singular essence and get it. Therefore, they explain a concept of Shviras HaKelim, that the diversity and the multiplicity of creation came about because there was a shattering of the vessels. What is the example given? We touched upon this last week, but this week he's elaborating on this particular point of Shviras HaKelim much more. And that is that if you have a sentence that contains a concept, that contains an idea. So the idea is invested in the words. The words are comprised of letters, and then you have letters which make up words, and you have words that make up a sentence, and sentence that would make up a paragraph or so forth. It contains an idea. As long as the letters are organized in its proper manner, in an organized fashion, so you have the words, and then the words are organized in that they form sentences, and the sentences that form a paragraph, and so. So then they can hold, they serve as a container for the idea. But if you go and you make a mumble jumble, if you just throw it around, all the letters, and you just spread the letters, so first of all, you just break the sentences apart. So then you lose the concept that was contained in the paragraph, just by separating each sentence onto its own. But at least you'll have some of the idea, because it's a sentence. It's incomparable, you know, one sentence of a greater idea that is expressed in a paragraph. One sentence cannot convey the richness, the depth, the profoundness of the idea. All you're getting is a tiny little sliver of the idea, but still something. But then if you're to go farther and break the sentence into individual words, each word unto its own now has lost, now you've lost far more of the meaning. And then if you take the words and you break them into just separate letters, then you have nothing left of the meaning. But still, some letters contain some meaning. If you break letters itself into broken pieces of a letter, because every letter is made from certain lines, so if you cut those lines in separately, in each one individual place, then you have absolutely meaningless jitter, meaningless forms that don't express anything. Now here's one more very important point. So that's the idea of a shliras hakelim. You have words that were kelim, they contained the concept, they broke, and now you just have a bunch of disorganized letters that have no meaning. When the letters were all organized together, receiving, being a receptacle for the idea, the letters were completely surrendered to the idea. Meaning, the letters were, the words were egoless. Didn't notice the words. You don't recognize so much words. What you really see is a concept. There isn't any self-awareness or self. There is no identity and presence of words or letters. As mentioned last week, if you're listening to someone speak or if you're reading something, and you're noticing words too much, then you're missing. You can't hear the concept. But in order for the concept to be conveyed, you have to allow the light, the energy to come. You can't focus on the vessels. If you're looking too hard for hearts in the vessel, you miss the idea. And because these vessels are serving something bigger than themselves. They're just here to express an idea, a concept. They're not a thing onto their own. However, once you break the letters into separate, independent, separate entities, then the letter, being it's not conveying something higher, so it isn't transparent anymore, the letter. The letter becomes noticed. You find a piece of an H sitting around, it's a thing. And you notice it as a thing, as instead of it being something conveying a letter or conveying an idea. So ego, metzius, yeshus, which are meaning identity, beingness, a sense of existence, a sense of being, comes from being disoriented, being disconnected from being part of a greater whole. When you're part of a greater whole, so when all of creation was sort of just one sentence containing a godly idea, then what was creation? Creation was here as an expression of God. It didn't claim identity, it didn't claim beingness. But once the Shviras HaKelim took place, that's what, not only, it accomplished two things. It accomplished, number one, it accomplished that it became many from one. Because the various different as it kept on breaking up and splintering and crumbing into little tiny crumbs as it was going down, the more the greater the quantity of the creations and also the various different types of creations, because it's splintering it into tiny little pieces. So what happens is the godly divine energy doesn't really change. God remains one, but it's the vessels that are containing his light sort of that shatter, and that's what gives the various different shapes and forms to all the creations. That's number one. Number two, it also explains how the creations can feel themselves as independent existence, as something. The truth is that God is everything, and there's no existence but him. He is the only reality. So how can there be that all of existence stems from him, and he is the truth, and he is the beingness in them, and how can it be that they have that sense of autonomous existence, of independent beingness? That comes because they no longer, the vessels no longer contain the, or are a keli for that, a vessel for that light. So they become just a disassociated or disorganized piece of matter or something that doesn't see itself as serving or subservient to a greater thing. So it becomes about itself and it gets ego. And that's how the ego is created. And the sense that every creation sees itself as the center of the universe, as the epic of all of existence, as I am. So from the singular I of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am, Hashem is the only one who's really allowed to say I, because he's justified in saying I, because he is an existence that substantiates himself, meaning his existence stems from himself. No one creates him, no one makes him. How did it splinter into billions of little eyes? That comes from the shattering of the vessels. And once we've... Oh, no. When the shattering took place, okay, now we mentioned earlier, the shattering took place in the realm of Tayyip. These letters shattered in the realm of Tayyip. Then a rectification took place immediately. And that was when God reintroduced light. There were some of those splintered kalim, some of those vessels that were right away assembled to form new words for a new message, for a new godly light, a less potent light. So a tikkun took place immediately, and that's where what we call the world of Atzilus came about. It's sort of like if you have a piece of poetry, a beautiful piece of poetry, and a child flew into a rage and an anger, and he grabs it, he starts tearing it up, you catch a few sentences before they get torn up completely. So the sentences are still, you can still put them together again. But some of it, meaning the latter ones that you didn't catch on time, splintered and got cut up more till you have just a bunch of pieces where you can't even figure out where it belongs, which letter belongs to what, is it a part of a word, is it a part of this sentence. You can make millions of different sentences from it because you just have a bunch of letters and without any cohesiveness in it, and then you're stuck. But if you can catch some of it, at least in the beginning, and create or have some of the idea, that's sort of what the world of Atzilus is. The world of Atzilus is rectified because it was still, yes, from the broken letters, but you had full sentences still. It wasn't that original paragraph, but you have broad sentences that were still able to contain a lot of the light. Yeah. Now, however, and therefore, the world of Atzilus is called the world of unity. Because in Atzilus, the beings, if we can call them beings, Atzilus is hardly a world, because in Atzilus, all personality or all character, Atzilus already also has character. God himself, before he begins creating worlds, is characterless, beyond any character. But in Atzilus, there is already some character. But the character of Atzilus is so overwhelmed by the presence of the Infinite One, of God himself, that they have no identity at all. So Atzilus is a world of unity. There is only one, there is only God. That's the sense that dominates, the awareness that dominates the world of Atzilus. Ata echad, you are one. That's the experience. So it's all part of Him. There's nothing but the Divine, there's nothing but God. Therefore, even if there are various different nuances or various different expressions of Atzilus, but it's as if God is expressing Himself. It's not like there is a somebody, there is a thing, there is an entity that isn't Hashem. So the whole realm of Atzilus is lost or completely subsumed in Him or nullified in Him, part of Him, contained within Him. That is the world of Atzilus. And that extends from where, also important before we learn further, from the beginning, the highest pinnacle of Atzilus. Atzilus is, let me just review one more point, just to make it clear. Atzilus is the highest point of the present creation. It's the creation on its highest level. And therefore, in Atzilus itself, the pinnacle of Atzilus, the peak of Atzilus, is the attribute of Chachma. Chachma meaning the divine, the attribute of wisdom. And what is Chachma? Chachma is that, the energy of Chachma, the experience of Chachma, is total nullification, total lack of self-identity. And that's why the word Chachma means Koach Ma, the power of what. What meaning, I don't have any identity that I can claim I am. I have no I, I'm what. I'm totally transparent. There is no me. There is only God's light shining through me. So the highest element of Atzilus is called Chachma. The lowest, every world is composed of 10 levels, 10 divine attributes. The lowest realm of Atzilus is called Malchus of Atzilus, the attribute of sovereignty. So the world of Atzilus extends from Chachma until Malchus. From Malchus, Malchus is still part of the divine, it's still within the realm of unity, of oneness, but once the divine energy passes through Malchus and extends its exits malchus and enters into the next stage, over there is where diversity begins. That's where there is already, through the process of the shvira, the breaking of the vessels, this breaks already into fragments. But the fragments are still kind of large fragments, so they're not yet broken up that much. But already in Bria is where we already there is already another entity but God. There are already creations, there are beings that have some sense of self. However, very subtle, hardly can they feel their own existence because they're still extremely connected to their source, which is God. But they do have a subtle feeling. There is already, a lot of times on Chassidus it is discussed, that there is possible existence already. It's possible to exist in the world of Bria. Then, as the energy travels further down into the lower realms, it splinters into, it goes farther away from God, meaning farther away from the original source, becoming therefore more sense of themselves, splintering up, like those letters splintering up into smaller pieces, and therefore it moves as it moves on and on. Where is the last root of the creations, of all the various different multiple creations? Where is their last place where they were still contained in harmony, in oneness, in infusion with God? That was in Malchus of Atzilus. Malchus of Atzilus, therefore, is called the source of the latter realms, Bria, Yetzirah, Asiyah. Because they stem from Malchus, the three lower worlds. But what was the point where they were still embedded or connected in one point, where they were still completely nullified to God and not seeing themselves as entities on their own? That was in Malchus Tatzilus. That's why Malchus Tatzilus is called Mekor Dibiyah. It's the root. Biyah is an acronym for Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, for the three worlds. This is the root. And the energy of Malchus, which Malchus by its nature is to reign, to have supremacy, to have sovereignty over entities that are not you, entities that serve you. That's why Malchus is the root for what? For creating diverse creations who have an ego, who have an identity, and they can surrender themselves to God. So that we understand why Malchus is the last place of unity, because the whole point of Malchus is to create diversity, to create multiple creations, each one having some identity, and everyone acknowledging God and therefore surrendering themselves to Hashem. So Malchus is the last place of unity. From Malchus on starts. And another aspect he says is that the energy of Malchus, the divine name that dominates in Malchus, is called the name Ban, the name of 52, connected to the Shem Havaya, Yudke Vavke, the numeric what it equals to, the numeric value of Shem Havaya in a certain way is Shem Ban. So Shem Ban is the source for diversity in creation. Now we'll understand what he's saying. Let's read inside again. Shehen Zayin Malkin Kadmon de Toyu. These are the seven ancient kings of Toyu. Shanaflu b'shviras hakelev, that collapsed in the collapsing of the vessels. Lamata, they fell. And what was their first collapse? Where did they fall to the first? They fell l'shem Ban da'atzilis. They fell to the name of Ban 52 of Atzilis, which is the level of Malchus of Atzilus, Makar Debiyah, which is the root of Bria Tzirasiya, because from as it exits that level, it already turns into various different creations. The diversity begins. Umisham them from there Yardu Bibiyah. The divisiveness begins. And from there Yardu Bibiyah. And from there it continues, the energy continues further, or the vessel shatters further. They kept on falling lower and lower and lower into Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah. V'zehu inyan misa samalachem. And this is what it means. The kings have fallen. The kings have collapsed. They're falling down. Ki yidu as it is known. V'hinei and behold, v'shviras hakelem. In the collapse of the vessels, naflu kama b'chinois. Many things fell during the collapse of the vessels. Meaning, the collapsing of the vessels didn't just happen in one realm. It happened in the various different dimensions of existence. So creation is mainly the beings that are contained within creation are mainly two types of being. There are souls and there are angels. And these are two completely distinct types of creatures. Souls are one entity, and malachim are a completely different entity. So he's saying that the shvira, the breakage, took place both in the realm of the splintering, took place in the realm of angels, meaning to say that angels also begin with more general malachim that are on a higher state of unity, of oneness, and then it splinters into multitudes of angels, and then that itself splinters into more angels and more angels. As it goes lower and lower, the more diverse, the more the many, the pluralism of it, to becoming more. That is a direct result of the angels falling lower and lower from Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya. And the same is also true in souls. Souls also, in their original sources, like souls are all one. There's the collective soul. And then as they make their way down, they splinter. So that's what we mean, the shvira, the breaking of a crumbing of it, took place on the level of angels and the levels of souls. So, the shvira sekelem naflu kama b'chinah, it's many levels. Hen b'chinah neshamnes, where there's souls, hen b'chinah malachim, and also angels. And the third thing that also collapsed, souls and angels, the common factor are that they're not God, they're creations of God. Very holy creations, but they're still creations. In them itself there was a collapse. There were higher souls, and then the collapses to lower levels of souls. Souls that have higher awareness, and souls that have a lesser awareness. Angels that have a higher connection to God, and angels that are farther from Him. But there was something else that collapsed. It was actually divine energy itself that collapsed. Actually, sparks that are Him, that are not creations of Him, but literally Him Himself, they too collapsed. And later in the Maamar is going to discuss what's the concept. That's really the energy, the divine spark that serves as the energy contained in every creation. Everything needs a spark of divinity to give it life. So that too collapsed. The henchin is koiches elikiyam atzmam, and so too the godly, divine energies, kulam nishberu, all of them fell. V'naslu lamata bibiya, and they fell down below in bria tzirasir. V'koiches elikim, and what does it mean that the godly energy collapsed? Nifilasan, they're falling. Haynu sheyardu lahachyos bibiya, they came down to become a source of life for the world, the bria tzirasir, meaning the energy falls, meaning to become an energy of a fragmented creation. And then the creations are, together with the energy, what else is collapsing along with it, are the creations of that energy. So there is the creations that are breaking up, and then there are the energy itself, which is splintering itself to create smaller, less intense creations, and more splinter, diverse creations. That's also part of the collapse. So there is the energy that collapses, and then there are the creations that also fall through a process of falling lower and lower and splintering into smaller pieces. And the idea and the concept of the breaking and the shattering of these vessels and the sparks is the idea that they get fragmented into small little into many parts. By example, Tevis Baruch. If you take the word Baruch, Baruch means a blessing. When the letters are combined, Beis, Reish, Vav, Chaf, in this word, Mislabish Ben Askala. So it contains a concept. The concept of what? The concept of a blessing. Shu Inyan Abracha, which is the idea of a blessing. But if the four letters will break away one from the other, for the base to stand on its own, and the resh will stand on its own, so then it doesn't contain the idea anymore. The idea left it. You have a base. What is a base? It doesn't mean blessing. And similar to this is the shattering of the vessels of the world of Toyo. The vessels were divided into or splintered into small little pieces. Each one distinct and separate from the other. Until the light couldn't be contained in them anymore because they didn't convey anything because they were separate. That was contained in them. Koidim Pirudzeh, the light that was contained in them before the splintering has now left them. And because the light leaves them, so they don't feel God anymore. Because it doesn't have the light. So they're not conveying something beyond themselves. So what am I? I'm about myself. And as a result of this, Yordum Madrega, they descended down in levels. The Pchinas Biyah, they've this is why they descended through various gradations into the world of Briya Yetzira Asiya. And what characterizes these worlds? Two things: multiplicity and identity, apartness, meaning a sense of independent existence. And Esavu Mizeh, and it was created from this. It came into being from this. Oylemis Hanefradim, worlds that are apart from God. Instead of them seeing themselves as expressions of Him, which in truth, from God's perspective, from Hashem's, from His eyes, all of creation is connected to Him. But to the creations, it appears that they are apart from Him because they're living in that world of separation of these vessels that have detached themselves. Beruyim rabim meminim shoinim. Many beruyim rabim. Many creations, meminim, meminim, shayinim, from various different types. Kamoshakasav, as it says, Hayesh Mispar, is there a number to God's battalions, to His troops? There's no number. Vehine, and behold, now He's going to show the contrast. Atzmus HaMatzel, the essence of the emanator, Baruch Hu, blessed to see, meaning God Himself, whom Yachud miyuchad betachlus hayichud, is one and unified with utter unification. He is totally a singular entity, Kenoida, as it is known. And therefore, in order that it should come into being, the various creations, that in great multitudes, and they're also, first of all, there are multitudes, so many different the fact that there are the many of them, and each one in their own style, and more than that, in a state of apartness. Every creation feels itself as a somebody and a something. And if you don't know what that means, think of where you were at 3 o'clock today. What was your conscious mind at that moment? You were a somebody. A somebody that was thinking of what? Of being all you can be and having everything. And I don't know, whatever sensation you were looking for or being driven at that moment. Now, how can a person in the all-pervasive truth of God, where it's all Him, have that identity of self to say, I want, or I need, or give me that? Where does that come from? I mean, there is just one being, and that's Him. That has to do, because that's what He's saying. That's a yesh v'nivra. You become apart, you become separated. This is literally the antithesis to the truth of His unity, that there's none but Him. So how does every creation see itself? There's none but Him. So this had to come about through the shattering of the vessels, because it got broken into little parts, very, very much. This results in the multiplicity of the creations. Also, through this break, separation, divisiveness, every creation becomes a mohus, becomes a being onto its own. Every angel is separate from the other. In other words, the colors of every creation, its particular properties that make it distinct and unique, that it is it and not something else, has to do with this, with the various different crumbs. You know, if you take a piece of glass and you break it, every piece, every shard is going to have its own character, the way it breaks. So every creation has its own character because it's a broken piece. When these kelim, these vessels, and these sparks fell down from before God, depending to the extreme descent, to the degree that they have fallen, that they have gone down, to that degree they become separate and they become many. Meaning the lower, the farther you go away from the original place, the farther, the lower you go, the more, the greater in quantity, the more creations there are, and the more there is what? Separation. Meaning the more the creations take themselves seriously. As if there's something. Because the symbol of spiritual elevation, the symbol of being close to God, is the quality of self-effacement, nullification, bittul. And that's why Chassidus puts bittul as the highest thing. Everything is about bittul. Because bittul means you're connected. How are you connected? When you have no self-awareness. And the minute you have self-awareness, the more that self-awareness, that means the farther you are from Him. And those levels that have not descended that much, then there wasn't so much separation. Whatever is close to Hashem has more bittul, has more surrender and more unity. The farther they have distanced themselves, ad nasabem yoyser hapirut. So then that causes more the splinterization. Va'aribuy and the many. And nimtzan, it comes out, kishanoflu lamato ba'asiyah, nasa hapirut va'aribuy b'yoyser. When it reaches the world of asiyah, which is the lowest world, where it collapses, its last collapse, over here it becomes so much more than what it is in the upper world, and so much more full of ego. Zeu shakasov, and this is what it means. And all this is alluded to in the verse in the beginning of Bereishis. It speaks right out about the creation. So it says like this: a river stems, comes forth, gushes forth, or from Eden. And where does it go? Lahashkes esagan. The river is coming from Eden, a place called Eden. And the river is going down to the Gan, to the garden. And then once it goes into the Gan and it waters the Gan, it says, Umisham yi pared. And from there it gets pared, it gets divided into four rivers. Sham yi pared. So the Alter Rebbe says over here, the meaning of this verse is like this. Eden is the first point of creation, first point of existence. That's Chachma. In Chachma, there is absolutely no beingness. Just total, there it's only God. Absolute unity, only one. From there, the river gushes forth, meaning as the divine light, the river is the symbol for the water, is a symbol for life. So the river representing the godly influence that is influencing and traveling and being extended towards the creation. As that influence travels lower down from Chachma, so it goes to the Gan. That the river going from Eden to the Gan, that run of the river, that area of the river, over the, that's representing the world of Atzilus. Because the world of Atzilus you have is there's only one river. There's nothing else. All there is the river. Because you have it gushing through that same river. There is no divide. It hasn't split yet. Gan is Malchus. Malchus is called the garden. We're going to see later. It's called the garden of apples, the apple orchard. That's Malchus. It says Chakal Tapuchin Kadishin. You can see it later in the mind. But the river goes from Chachma, and it travels down, and it goes to the Gan. Once it passes Malchus, once it travels through the entity of Malchus, Umisham Yipare. That's already the beginning of the world of Bria. In the world of Bria, over there you have the divisiveness of four camps of angels. That's the four rivers. As we read over here, and then the river ushers forth from Eden lahashkes as a gan to water the gan. Umisham yipare. Shahanor anim shachmei Eden, the river that emanates from Eden. Shahu chachma datzilus, which is the level of chachma of the realm of Atzilus. Biyosinim sheches voileches derech kol olam Atzilus, as it extends and it flows through the whole world of Atzilus. Ad hagan to the gan. What's the gan? Hupchenas malchus datzilus. That's the level of Malchus, which is called the Gan. Hu'hakul nar echad. There's still one river, because over there it is overwhelmingly, it is completely incorporated in the oneness of God, without any sense of apartness. Adayin mushlal negeder is chalkus. and it is completely mushlal, meaning it's, let's have a good word for mushlal, it's, no, it's beyond, negates, not negates, it's like, it's precludes, that's it. It precludes any gather, any concept of divisiveness, betachlus. That's why we know the yasser spheres of Atzilus, even though they're distinct, this is chesed and this is gevura, but really they're all one entity. You can hardly, they're so united and merged one with each other, that they're, because they're influenced with the oneness of Ein Sof, that is beyond character of the spheres. Because over there they're all woven together with that light. Ki ba'atzilus, because in the world of Atzilus, iu vigar miyuchad, God is one with his garments. The attributes are called garments because they're not the Ein Sof. As we studied in the Maamar Pasach Elio a few weeks ago, we were learning how Atzilus is infinitely lower than the Ein Sof. I mean, the distance that there is from Atzilus to beyond Atzilus is unmeasurably. It's even higher than the distance between Atzilus and the lower worlds, Bria Tzirasiya. But nevertheless, they're garments. They're not him, but they become so unified and one with him that it's only him. He is one with his garments. Shehem b'pchenaz bitul amiti, because they're in an absolute true bitul, l'matzilon, to their emanator, u'meyachadim imoy, and they're unified with him, b'tachlis ayichud, with utter unity. Shehu'apachab is similar to the way the organs of your body are part of your soul. Your finger doesn't have its own identity. You don't have to converse with your finger, explain to it why you want it to get involved in that particular activity. It happens spontaneously, it happens automatically. Why? Because your fingers don't, it's not even that they have an ego and they have to surrender it, there's no struggle, because the katkhila, meaning initially, they're expressors of you, they're part of a greater human being. They don't have any independent, separate identity. And ach and vei, meaning it's bad if the organs and the limbs of the body start seeing themselves as a part, then you really need to go to a doctor. Because the limbs get resistant and they're disobeying because they feel themselves apart. It's the opposite of separation and multiplicity. But when the river arrives at the first state of Bria, of the world of Bria, over there, from there already, once after Malchus, that's the last place of unity. After that begins already the realm of creations. Bria means a creation. What is a creation? Creation means something outside of him, something other than him that he created. And that's why once you're dealing already with otherness, you're also dealing with multiple beings. V'hoyel adalid roshin. You have what? Four heads, meaning four rivers. Instead of one river, it's four rivers. V'ashaloy netoysef b'mayim. Even though there wasn't added any water, it's the same river, there's no more. How did it become four? That's the point. The same energy that was first all included in one has now broken into four. Imkoz and isparid v'hoyel adalid chalakim, and has become four. The hand dalid machnois shchina. Now over here, these creations, being they're very close to the Gan, they're very close to Malchus, they're completely nullified to God. So what are these already? What result already? What is the creation on that level? There are four camps of the Shechina, four camps of heavenly, of angelic hosts that represent the chariot of God. But there are already four, each one distinct with their own character. There is the chariot of the lion, there's the side of the Pnei Aryeh, the lion, there's the Pnei Shor, the face of the ox, there's the face of the eagle, and there's the face of the man. Various different already images and beings. Also, we know, so we have Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and whatever whichever malachim there are that they represent. A malach, very holy being, but he's still a somebody, and he's very distinct. Michael is very different than Gabriel. It's not like Chesed and Gevura and Atzilus, where even though Chesed is Chesed and Gevura is Gevura, they're completely unified with him, that they're just, that you can, they're not so distinct in their beingness. But in Bria, Michael and Gabriel don't get along too well. They only get along when they nullify Hashem. But in essence, they have each one a character and a personality and a drive that is unique to them. So v'hen dalad machna shechina, these are the four camps of the shechina. Pnei Aryeh ala yamin, the light, the right of the face of the lion to the right. Pnei Shor, and that's what I mean. These are four rivers. Ah, hem chalokim kolalim. The four what? They're in the world of Bria. The world of Bria, yeah, because we now entered the Shechina's Atzilus. And these are the four camps of the, these are his armies, meaning they're not him, they're his armies, they serve him. They're serving the Shechina, they're serving God, what? Yeah, that's the point. The river now entered the garden, and once it passed the garden, it opens into four rivers. Why four? Because already here there's already a separateness. Ah, however, I'm chalakim koilelim adayin. Over here, it's still what? Separate entities, but they still very. They're very general entities, very general beings. They're still, because they contain a lot. They're still a source. What?
Subtle?
Not subtle. No, I mean to say koilel. They encompass. They what?
Collective,
yeah, that's good. They're collective souls, collective angels. Shakol chelik mehem, because each individual part, koidel kama pratim rabbi, is includes within itself inclusive souls, inclusive angels, that include what? Many specifics. Ubiyidida samadregis, and then when it descends further, oid nishalik mepchinas Michael. Michael is the archangel that contains all the angels that are angels of love, angels of kindness. They, so that then you have Yamichael himself, and then you have the camp of Michael. What's the camp of Michael? The little sparks that emanate from him. Shehu p'chinas p'nei Arya. He's the Michael himself is the face of the lion. That's a new image for Michael. It's a huge lion of Michael, which later splinters into kuf pei vav elef p'chinas mochalakis, 186,000 variations where Michael splinters, and this is still in the world of Bria, into 186,000 various different forms of love, forms of kindness, forms of whatever. Mechalakis. Shehem machna Michael, this is the camp of Michael. V'chein mipchenes Gavriel, and the same from the archangel Gavriel. Shehu pchenes p'nei shor, which is the face of the ox. Nischalak l'chalakim rabbi. Also gets splintered into various different. Shem kol prati ha-malachim, these are all the specifics of the angels. The machna Gavriel, of the camp of Gavriel. V'kolzeu adayin v'olam abriya. And all this, the 186,000, this is still where? In the realm of Bria. Even there it splinters already into 186,000 of each kind. Then, ubi yetzira, but when it goes down farther into the next world, again over there the fragmentation is far more, splinters into far more pieces, each one far smaller and inferior and less, and more diverse. Ubi yetzira mischalik oid leprakim yoyser. Leprakim yoyser. Yetzira gets splintered into more detail. Shehen arucha is the yetzira. The angels of Bria become the spirits of Yetzirah. They're called Ruchais. And then, which are far more diverse. Uba Asiyah, and when you get down to the world of Yasiyah, Asiyah means the world of action. Doesn't necessarily mean the physical world yet. He's still speaking about the spiritual realm of Asiyah. Mischalik oid l'charokim rabim b'yoyser. It gets splintered even far more many. Shehem anafasha is Asiyah. These are the souls of Asiyah. Souls over here, he doesn't mean souls in terms of human souls. He means the Malachim, Ruchais, and Nefashais. The angels of Asiyah are called Nefashais. And this is all because of the breaking of those vessels. Shemisparidim bepirur achapirur. That get, Shemisparidim, that get crumbed by the crumbing of the crumbs. Each crumb gets crumbed into smaller crumbs. Viribuy achariboy. And many, many, many. Kiniskaliel. And it ends up being an extremely crummy situation. Ach, Hamalachim. What happens to the malachim? He says the malachim have already been rectified. Means that even though there is this diversity and this multiplicity in angels, but angels are angels. That means they're all serving God. So there are various different creations, each one with their own persona, each one with their own character, but they're all singing their own tune. They're singing their tune, and together they're creating beautiful music for God. So they're in tune, so they're still in tune with the greater purpose of existence. They're serving a mission, as opposed to each one doing his own kazatska. Right? So they're all united in a greater dance, in a greater song, in a greater in harmony. So, even though there is a dispersion, they're already, they're called the Toyu, They come from the collapsed vessels, but that element of creation has already been rectified. That's the point. They've been brought together and unified to serve a greater thing. 1 minute. His servants, his attendants, all stand. What do you mean standing? Standing is a sign of bittul, of nullification. Is standing silent. Brum oilam in the height. Upchinas yoitzer mishorsim heimam is barred and bakol yoim. And then every day there is new angels, because that's what has been already elevated and refined every day. Every day we refine new sparks, new angels, and it joins the army of God to serve it. So malachim have already been influenced by the energy of tikkun to be unified from their fragmented state. It's like picking up the words, the little words that have scattered, and putting them back together again into a cohesive, orderly fashion. Yes.
So my question is, a couple weeks ago, you mentioned that a level of the world is oil and toil, higher than the world of oil and tea.
Yes, because the energy is far more intense.
Right. You're talking about the case of Yahweh. Mm-hmm.
Tikkun doesn't break.
What?
Tikkun doesn't break.
Right.
Only Toyo breaks.
Right.
Yeah.
When it
falls. Yeah, yeah.
So you're talking about Malachim. How can you? I'm just asking, maybe I'm not getting this. How can you? Can you just explain how that those two ideas work together?
Because
these angels are coming from this higher place, and they have this level of Toyo when they come down.
No, but then they've been rectified. The point. That's already the part that has been rectified and put into its proper place. Like a huge thing, that a puzzle that is broken, and pieces that have been put together again.
Okay.
So they were influenced by the Shiris HaKelim, in that each one gets formed with their own specific character, but they're all, in their particular state of existence, they all surrender to the bigger picture, to the greater thing, because they've been rectified. But he's going to say there's a great part of the world that is not rectified, and the job, and that's where the souls come into play, and their job is to pick up the pieces of what has not been rectified. And that's what we're going to read now.
What? They've been rectified by the process?
It seems like part of the rectification process happened on the own in the process of creation. That wasn't us, that's not our job. Now, Hashem fixed a lot of the shvira, a lot of the breaking, he himself, a big part of the puzzle he put together on his own. But then there is a part of the puzzle that has been left scattered, and that is our job to come and pick up and rejoin. In simple words, we're going to see it means rejoin every created entity to serve its purpose in the greater picture, in the overall purpose of creation. Instead of creations seeing themselves as God, as beings justified to exist for themselves, to serve their own interests and pursue their own pursuits, the creations are all in a surrendered mode, serving God's interest in existence, and that's how we pick them up from their fallen state. And let's read inside. Vehine kamoi shehu b'malachim. That's already the tikkun. Tikkun is Hashem resembling the vessels, and then sending our souls down, which also stem from the world of tikkun, mainly, and to rectify and pick up the shards, as we're going to read now, right? Not our tikkun. We're already, we have a tikkun. We don't need a tikkun. The souls of the Jewish people don't need tikkun, because we are rectified from the beginning. The souls, we were also influenced by Toyu, even the Jewish souls, because the fact that we're going to see now, the fact that we splinter into so many different souls and each one with its own character, that's the element of where we've been broken into. But still, part of the, put it this way, when, just like God rectified angels, God rectified the souls also. So the souls are also brought into the world of tikkun already, and it's not our job to rectify our own selves. Our job is to fix the world. Jews are coming into the world to fix the creation. What? This is tikkun olam. We have to go down and that's part of the vessel. There's certain parts of the vessels that have not been. It's all the vessels. And the reason why we were splintered first into many souls is also because we're little parts of those vessels. The angels are a different element of the vessels. But the angels and the souls were rectified from above. Then comes the next stage, where souls are sent down to rectify the rest. That's the point. Just like it is with the angels, Kachal derech zeh, same is also true. Nimtza b'neshamos is also in souls. Shal yedei ribu yirid samadreges b'shtal shalos ha'olamos, through the descent. The many multiples of descending, of the levels, through the progression of worlds. Misparidim l'chalokim k'tanim mi'oy. It gets splintered. The souls also get splintered into multitudes and multitudes of souls. B'ribu yachar ribuy, with many, meaning more and more and more. And he says, just like he explained by the angels, they begin as four. And then from the four, they get splintered into 186,000. And from there, they go further and further. The same process is with neshamas. Because originally, all souls emanate in one place. And malchus of atzilus, they're all part of the Shekhinah. It's all one soul. That's an atzilus, because that's a world of unity. Over there, all Jews are one entity. All souls. But then what happens? Come to the world of Bria, it becomes four camps. Why are the four camps? In the Mishkan, in the tabernacle, when the Jews were traveling in the Midbar, the Shvatim were set up on the four directions of the, in the four sides of the thing, of the Mishkan. The Levim were in the middle with the Mishkan, and then you had 12 tribes. So three tribes were on the right side. It was called Degel Machne Yehuda, the banner of Yehuda. Then there was Degel Machne Ephraim was one of them. Degel Machne Reuven is the next one. And then there is Degel Machne Ephraim, the banner of Ephraim. And the Degel Machne Dan. These are the four Degalim. These four Degalim represented what? The souls, the splintering of the souls into four general souls. In Atzilus, they're all one soul. But then they come, and one of them is embodied in the soul of Yehuda. The other one is embodied in the soul of Ephraim. The other one is the soul of Dan. And the other one is the soul of... And then the details, the other tribes, are already details in this soul. For example, Yehuda is together with Reuven is together with Gad and Shimon. So Gad and Shimon are already manifestations of Reuven. But they belong to his camp, meaning they're contained in his neshama. That's why he's the main banner, Reuven, and you have Shimon and Gad, and so forth. So, Kidale Diglei Midbar, the four, the Golem of the Midbar. By the way, it says that when the Jews saw the hosts by Matan Torah, when they saw God descending by Har Sinai with the heavenly hosts of the angels, it says the Jews were jealous and they said to Moshe, why can't we set ourselves also up in that same form of the angels on the four sides, the Pnei Aryeh? So God said, I will set you up, I will put my Mishkan, and you will be exactly like the host carrying the Shekhinah, carrying the. So literally when the Jews were in the Midbar, they were set up in the same form as it is in Olam Abriya, in the world of Bria, in that same imagery. And that wasn't just the imagery, they were literally facilitating the same godliness that was expressed in the world of Bria through the angels, was expressed in the Jewish people. But that was because the Jewish souls then were really souls from the world of Bria. At that time, at that present time, the Jews that came out of Egypt, those 600,000 souls, were souls on the level of the world of Bria, and in the world of Bria it's broken into four. That's why they were in four directions, but they were sort of together because they're still united. The center is the Shekhinah, so they're all close, just like the angels are still close to their source. The fact that we're so diverse and splintered today all over and here and there, and there's a Jew in their place, that's because as it splinters down lower and lower, as we're going to see. That's why Kidal Diglei Midbar HaMispar, because the four banners of the Midbar HaMispar Sharshi HaNeshamas, that's the number of the root souls, V'Olam HaBriya and the world of Briya, V'Nishmas Yehuda Kalelas Kol HaNeshamas Shebemachne Yehuda, and the soul of Yehuda embodied within himself all the souls that are going to be. See, whoever was in Yehuda's camp really was a detail in Yehuda's, in the neshama of Yehuda, an expression of a different nuance of his soul, a different detail. Afterwards, then Yehud himself splintered into all the souls that were in his camp. And the same is also in all the other banners. And the tribes. Atshanasu, what is the number of souls in the world of Riyah? 600,000. That's the number of neshamas. The crumbing down of the souls, or the splintering of the souls, it turns into 600,000 ba'olam abriya in the world of Bria, which is amazing. He says the Torah seems to always speak about the number of Jews as 600,000. Why? Because when the Torah speaks, the language of the Torah is the world of Bria. That just gives us one thing to think about, that we have no clue whatever the Torah speaks about. Because we think the Torah is speaking about a desert and a here and a here. The Torah speaks the language of the world of Bria. Meaning, the Torah identifies things as they are in the world of Bria. Even though the root of Torah is already in the Olam Atzilus, but the language of Torah Shebichtav is as it relates to the world of Bria. And in the world of Bria, there's 600,000 souls. Now, and it's interesting that in that time, in that period of time, down here in our in Olam Asiya, in our physical world, it played itself out, or it manifested itself as it is in truth in the world of Bria. Meaning, it's almost like the world of Bria expressed itself in our physical world. Now, Avol ki Atoyra medaberes hakol ba'olam Bria. The Torah speaks in the realm of Bria. Avol b'yetzira. But as the souls go farther into the world of Yetzirah, Nisrabu achalokim yoyser b'mispagodol. So now the souls get splintered into far many. Hem b'pchenas haruach di Yetzirah. In the level of ruach, of spirit of Yetzirah, similar to the angels, also had ruach. But here it's the ruach of souls, not ruach of Allah. Uba'asiya, when it gets down to the world of Asiya, ha'misper shalanafash estasiya, hu gadol yoyser makulam. There is the most souls, it's from the realm of Asiya. Because over here there's billions of souls. I mean, countless. Achasam achareish neshamis. However, he says, the 600,000 souls, in simple words, it means that we were all part of his people who went out of Egypt. That's what it means, that all souls were standing by Har Sinai. I mean, all souls were there. Because they were collective souls. Each person that stood at Har Sinai contained within himself a chunk, a whole generation of time of the Jewish people. They were huge countries. Later, all the Jews who lived in France were contained in one human being, who stood at Har Sinai. And they were all, I'm just giving, I don't know if it was broken up geographically or whatever it is, but those people, all the Belzer Hasidim were all in that Belzer, big Belzer Hasid, sitting over there. All these, meaning, we're all little bunches of splintered souls from the greater souls of the 600,000. The Ach, however, he says, Hasam Achreish Neshamins, the 600,000 souls, Hem Shekfar Netaknu. Souls don't need tikkun, because they've already been rectified. Then it's Bader Umeshvira Sakelim. Because what is a soul? A soul is a being that is so transparent to God. A soul knows God, it wants to serve Hashem, it sees purpose to life, it's not egocentric. It's nullified. And then it's Bader Umeshvira Sakelim. Then Nichlalu Ba'olam HaTikun. They have already been rectified into the world of Tikun. Ekomoshan Nimt, but the part that has not been rectified is, he's going to address the third part, and that is the other substances of the world, which come from, remember in the beginning of the Maamar, he said three things collapsed. Souls collapsed, angels collapsed, and divine energy collapsed. And just like there was the Shvira, the breaking, which is the idea of the splintering and the multiplicity of souls and angels, Kenis Galeel has mentioned above. But over there, it has been already rectified. So is also true in the divine and godly energies. They too were broken and fragmented into many, many multitudes and multitudes of sparks. And they scattered into the world of Bri Yitzirasiya. The Cholmashayardu Yaiser, same rule applies. The farther they went, the Yerida Samadrega, descending through the levels, the Srabi Yoyser Apirut, it became more and more separation. Tahainu, Shokol Chelek V'chol Nitzitz, Nischalek Oidel Nitzitzis. Every spark gets splintered into far more sparks. V'chalokim Rabim. And this is what constitutes the energy of every butterfly, of every tree, and of every fish, and every plant. Everything, it's all, there is a spark of God that's there, but it's trapped, it's separated from Hashem, because looking at it, it seems to be an existence existing onto its own, and that's what it means, that's its separation. Similar to what is in the angels, in the neshamas and souls. Because it is known, and this idea that even the divine energy itself, that it serves as the energy of creation, also gets broken into and fragmented. So this idea is hinted to also in the second verse in Bereshis. It says, "Va'aretz ha'isa tayu." The world was tayu. Tayu meaning confused, chaos. Tayu v'avayu, and emptiness. al penel mayim over the the choshech al penel tohom, and there was darkness on the face of the tohom, of the what's the tohom? The tohom is the subterranean waters, whatever. The ruach elokim rachefes al penel mayim, and the spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So what do we see over there? We're talking about a state of toyu. That represents that energy as they were contained in the vessel. The choshech al penei ha'sa'om is, I think, representing the idea of those of the energy of toyu ascending back up, going up. Because we said before, as it shattered, it went up. Now, it's important to know, when we say the vessel shattered, before we continue, when we say the vessel shattered and the energy went back to Hashem, a tiny trace of energy remains connected to the letters. The main energy left, but a tiny trace, a trace of a trace. Every letter, because it was once containing part of the idea. And that's why there is that's what we mean, a spark of godliness. A nitzos, it's a spark. Because these are these tiny sparks from that place. So it says, V'ruach elokim, mirachefes, was hovering. So the Alter Rebbe says, in Darizal writes, that the word mirachefes, that's where we have hinting to the shattering of the vessels. Because mirachefes, if you rearrange the letters, you have, according to Kabbalah, the number of sparks, the original shattering of the first pieces that broke were Resh Pei Ches, 288 sparks. Which, of course, we understand they were collective sparks that included, as we're going to see soon. So it's 248 sparks that broke. Then, and therefore, Mirachefes has the word Resh Pei Ches in the middle, 288. Mace died, because it's these 200 Memsaf, the Mem and the Saf of the outer letters, the Memsaf, which means dead. Inside you have Rechefes. So because there was the vessels couldn't contain the light, so there was Mirachefes, al penei amayim, there was the breaking, the shattering of the water, of the shattering of the vessels, and the Resh Peches Meis, that's what died. But the question is, Ruach Lekim Rechefes, Resh Peches Meis, Hainu, Resh Peches Netzutzen, that's the 288 sparks, Shenaflu Ma'olam HaToyu, that collapsed from the world of Toyu, Ima Kelim, with the vessels, Shenishtarbu, that broke. He says the number 288 is the number of the sparks in their initial break when they entered into fall into the world of Atzilus, the first state of existence. So over there it was broken into 288 shards. That's the first descent. Then it was scattered and broken into 288. But when these sparks later fell from Atzilus to the world of Bria, each one of these 288 sparks, haniskali el sheba Atzilus that were in Atzilus, nischalik sham bebria lechalakim rabbe ma'oid, got broken into, in the world of Bria, into so many more multitudes and multitudes of sparks. And then when each spark of Bria falls down later into the world of Yetzira, then they break into further little pieces. And then from Yetzira Lasiya, Neschalku v'nespardu oid b'yoyser, gets broken and scattered more and more, to billions and billions of sparks that constitute the life force of every individual creation. Really, every atom, every tiny little thing, it's all emanating from this energy. And this will understand, we'll understand why the Golos is taking so long. It's more than 1700 years when the Alter Rebbe said this maimer in Tavkuf Samachay, which is 201 years ago. The Alter Rebbe said this maimer, he said it's more than 1700 years already that we have the Golos prolonged. Why is it taking so long? Now the question is like this. It says the reason we're in Golos is that the Jews enter into the world in order to elevate the spark. We have to come into contact with the whole world. Jews have to end up in every part of the creation so that we can reconnect everything to its spark, to its place. How? By us engaging or taking and involving an object of the physical domain, or an energy, any energy that's in the world, a force of nature. And we redirect that force to do a mitzvah with it. So, for example, you're using your car to go and visit a sick person, so you're taking a certain energy that's in the world that contains sparks of godliness, and you're using it to perform God's will. So now you're picking it up from its fragmented, detached state, putting it, reintroducing it into the service of Hashem, collecting the sparks. So Jews go all over the world, but if there's only 248 sparks, and the Kabbalah, I mean, if you learn in many Kabbalistic, it says 248 sparks. What's taking so long for 600,000 souls to elevate 248 sparks? So, and then he continues even more than that. It says in Mitzrayim, that was the main bearer. They did it, the first Galus, they took care of most of it, because most of the sparks were in Mitzrayim. How many did they take care of then? 202. And all there is 86 sparks left that has not been rectified. 202 were done in Mitzrayim, and that's the meaning, Gam Erev Rav Alu Imahem, that there was a multitude of nations. When it says when the Jews went out, there was a multitude, simply it means the lot of Egyptians came in and decided to join the Jewish people. But what was that? Why were they taken along? Because that was what the Jews elevated from Egypt. They elevated the 202 sparks, which is Reish Beis. Erev, meaning a mixture, Rav of 202, right, Reish Beis, that's what they took. All there is Peivav Netzutzin. Peivav Netzutzin, it's taking so long to elevate. So he says, when we say Reish Peches, that's the number in Atzilus. But from there it breaks and splinters into millions. The Jews also splinter into millions and billions. Every Jew is a tiny little spark who has his few little crumbs that he has to pick up. So we're, our world, our life is basically, we're put into a place with little sparks, little tiny dots of divine energy, and we're the force of tikkun that can go and collect them, because we're the only one, we're the divine conscience. We're the conscience of the world, because we have within our nature a godly soul that senses Hashem and senses purpose to go ahead and collect these sparks. Let me finish this, then I'll take the questions in a few minutes. What? Sparks. 86. But it becomes... 288, yeah. So let's continue. Avon. The point is to elevate the 248 sparks. When the refinement will end, will finish. Mashiach will come quickly nowadays. So it seems to be wondrous. Is it possible that the 248 sparks had not been elevated during this time? Generation comes and goes. Every Jew is refining his portion. Because Jews are doing mitzvahs all over, learning Torah, doing mitzvahs. That he needs to elevate. And how much more so? The amount of Jews that is needed for the 248 are 600,000. That's the amount that's needed. He says, and now Baruch Hashem, Yisrael, Rabim Yosim and Mispazeh. The Jews are much more than 600,000 Jews in the time of the Alter Rebbe, and in the mimer that the Alter Rebbe says. Not in this mimer in Torah Oyer, but the same mimer as it is in, quoted in Tavkuf Samachay. He says, and in Poland itself, he says, in that country itself, you have more than 600,000 Jews. So why couldn't they just do the job? And there's only one generation, and you have again and again. And Yosef Hashem Aleim, let Hashem add more, let it be multiple even more. V'kolshken bizman akad moinim. And particularly in the early days, shayinim tzekvarim, there were villages in Eretz Yisrael, shahoyibem Yosef esamach reish. The Gemara says that there were cities and places in Eretz Yisrael that had more than 600,000 people, just one village, one place. More than 600,000, speaks over there by the destruction of the temple, how many Jews were killed. So it goes through that there was this village that had more than keflayim, double the amount that went out of Egypt. Kamar Shekasa, the Gemara, Kfar Shechlayim, or whatever, chul, a different place. So how is it possible not finishing? Because down here in the world of Asiya, the splintering and the fragmentation of these sparks is far more. Inspired one, on its sutsim, the sparks have been fragmented. La lofim erivavos ein misper to thousands, to millions, myriads and myriads, literally without a number. Umisper reish peches, and the amount of reish peches hem batzilus is in the world of atzilus. The sham hem gamke mispar samach reish neshamis. In atzilus, we taka also have the 600,000 souls. Klolian, these are the general souls. Shehem tzrichim levar reish peches chalakim gedolim. They have to refine 248. These are the collective sparks. That's the Netzutzis as they are in the world of Atzilus. And just like down here below, it has increased the number of souls. Kenniskaliel is mentioned above. Kach nisrabu ma'oida netzutzim. So too the sparks have become increased. La'alfei alofim chalokim ketana. To the details and details of so many. Elakach nimshach ha'golus. And that's why the golus extended. Shadayin lo nishlam kol ha'birurim. Because we haven't finished yet all the sparks. Ukeshe yishlam ha'birur. And when the birur is going to be complete. Yalvei ha'goyel b'meira b'yameinu amin. So Mashiach is going to come speedily nowadays. Now the Rebbe, interesting, the Alter Rebbe said this 201 years ago. The Rebbe said 16 years ago, the Rebbe made one of the most fascinating, probably the most amazing statements said in the last 2,000 years by any person in the world. The Rebbe literally said to the world that you should know, Yidden, that the Avodas HaBirurim has been finished. That we've completed the last spark. That the sparks have been done and everything is finished. And therefore the Rebbe said that Mashiach is already here in all worlds, it just hasn't manifested itself yet in the lowest realm of existence, for whatever reason. But now the Avodah is just to prepare ourselves, get ready to live in Avodah, because it's not really to refine things, because the world has already been rectified. We don't understand, and we look at it, it doesn't seem so rectified, necessarily from our outside perspective. But what do we know when we look at a person, we're not a doctor, takes a look, he takes a blood test, he can see what's going on in the blood, what's going on in the inner dimension. We can only see things on the superficial side. But as it is on a deeper place, we realize that the world has already come to its total birur, and now there's something, I guess, left to do, but whatever needs to be do is not the avodah of birurim. But basically, the Jewish people have finished elevating the world. He makes it, and based on that, it says, now, the pasuk says, Marabu Masech Hashem, how great, Marabu, how wondrous, or how great, Masech Hashem, Are your deeds Hashem? Kulam b'chachma asisa. You have made them all with chachma, with wisdom. Simply meaning that the David HaMelech is awed by the many creations. Marabu, how many creations of Masecha Hashem? There's so many stones, so many things, so many trees. But really, he says what David HaMelech was wondering about, and what really got him is, look at the diversity of creation. Look at you think about just going into one, take a walk through the botanical gardens, and every little plant has a little thing, and their name, and this one, and this one. It's just not about ending. The variations of creation. He's saying, how is there such a multiple creation from one singular God? That was his wonder, that was his amazement. Marabu Masech Hashem, Pirishet, Chines Haribui. But where does he say, where is the ribuy? Where is the main multiplicity? Where is it so many? Masecha, in the world of Asiya. Because in the higher world, it's not so many. Because over there, things are more merged together into greater groups, more collective realities. But down here, there is the splinter, everything is splinter. So marabu, how great is the ribuy, is the multitudes and the many, masecha. In the world of Maisa, in the world of action, there's so much. Yes. Down here, the multiplicity is so much. Everyone is separated to its own. And each creation sees itself independent and separate. How many are your actions? But then, what is the second half of the pasuk? Kulam b'chachma asisa. You've all made them with wisdom. Over here, the Rebbe is going to go along, according to Alter Rebbe, to a theme we've spent many times, that the word asisa means to rectify. We had it many times that Hashem created the word lasos for us to rectify. It's the idea we're learning over here. Hashem created a world separated, fragmented, and now our job is to rectify. How do we rectify? We said before the problem, the illness that the world has, the confusion that the world has, is it doesn't see itself as part of one thing serving one entity. Each one is filled with ego, filled with self-awareness and self-beingness. And the point of existence is to surrender to Hashem, to pick up every piece and bring it back in, to serve its function and its purpose and the overall purpose of creation. That is, which means to bring bittul, to bring nullification to the... What is the power of bittul? We said earlier, kulam b'chachma asisa. It's the power of chachma. It's the power of wisdom. Koyach ma, The power of what? To bring the what to the being, to the yesh. The being that screams I am, he should have a dose of, I mean, once called it the watishkeit. A little infusion of the what energy to enter into the creation, to bring that humble, that feeling of bittul to the kulam chachma siso asiso lashen tikkun. And what is that? How do we rectify the world? Through Torah. What's Torah? Torah is the divine wisdom. Torah machachma nafkis. Torah stems from the world of chachma. That's why, because what does Torah do? Torah addresses every creation and says, you come over here, you are to do so and so. This is the way God wants you to function in His planet, in His world. Without the Torah, things don't have no clue what they're supposed to do. Every creation is, as he said before, you know, doing their own thing. Torah comes, takes every creation, and puts it to usage, and that's why Torah addresses the entire all of existence. It speaks to every creation and every being, and puts it in its place in Hashem's overall plan. Every energy in the human being, every facet of our lives, directed to serve Hashem. Also, so that's Torah comes from Chachma. Who else comes from Chachma? The Jewish souls, the Alter Rebbe says, HaNefesh HaShein Yisrael Yisrael, the second soul of Israel, emanates from the realm of Chachma. Jews have Bittul in themselves, and through Jews applying their souls through Torah and Torah and Mitzvahs to the world, they pick up the pieces of the yeshus world, of the world full of beingness and self-identity and arrogance, and they take the world, strip it, divest it from its corporal husk of independent existence, and retrieve that spark to be back, reunited with its original place in the divine scheme and Hashem's plan of creation. They become rectified. And that's why we know that the energy of tikkun is the energy of chachma. Through chachma, bittul is extended to these creations. Li is betalim, that they should be nullified. The nechlalim elov yizbarach, and should be absorbed in him. Elios mischabrim yachad, and that they should unite together. Sign of kedusha is when things get along with each other, and you only get along with each other if you're serving one bigger thing. World peace can only come about. There can never be no world peace unless all of creation serve one creator. The yasu kulam aguda echas. All of creation will make one aguda, one bond. Lasis ritzoncha, to do your will. It will never happen any other way. If people are not focused on serving a one God, like it says on the in the American thing, to serve united under one God. And if you want to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance and you want to take that out, then you don't have any. Then there is fragmentation. The whole country, the whole American dream or something, whatever it is, all collapses. Everything falls together. It says it on the dollar. The Rebbe would always say, "From many to make one." What is the one up? What? That's the idea. Why did America come about in the 1700s? Why did this happen? Because the Alter Rebbe and Chassidus started revealing these concepts of oneness in the world. So this played itself already out on the literal level of existence, that these concepts became actualized in the world, because the world starts picking itself up and getting ready for Mashiach. Elias mischabrim yachad al yudei zeh v'lo yiyam mufaradim, and they should not be separated. V'zehu avodas ha'Yisrael, but this is the job of the Jew. The Jew is the job to come to the world and scream Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That's why everything we do in our Yiddishkeit, it all stems from the Shema Yisrael. What is the motto of the Jew? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And around that, everything evolves. Because your point of every mitzvah, you're going to take your Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, that you believe in the inner, in your inner space, in your inner soul, you're permeated with the awareness, Ein Od Melvado, there's none but Him, and you're going to project that into this object through this mitzvah, into that object through this mitzvah, through this activity. The reason why there's a diversity of mitzvahs is because the world is multiple. So the mitzvah has to also address the multiplicity of creation and bringing all of existence back into that oneness. And that's the meaning that he says, V'zois Taitas Adam, and this is the man's Torah. Levarir birurim. This is the point of doing a birur. La'aloi son, to lift things up, mipchenes ha'pirur, from the state of separation, la'achdos havaya, to unity of Hashem. V'zehu, and this is an amazing thing we say by Kriya Shema, in Minchas, Shmona Esrei, we say, Atta Echad, you are one. The Shimcha Echad, then your name is one. Umika Amcha Yisrael, and who is like your nation Israel? Goy Echad Ba'aretz. A nation of oneness simply means that there are one nation on the land, on the earth. Pidish, meaning this. Atta, meaning you are one, is referring to the essential oneness of God before anything, before there was many. Hashem himself, as he preceded all of existence. Atta hainu mahusatz musli yizbarach. The very essence of Hashem, shu yachadim yuchad baruch, which is unified and one. V'shimcha hu b'chinas aziv ha'or. Then there is the energy as it extends itself to illuminate, to give life, to radiate to creation. That is already stepping, in a sense, out of God. But even then, it's still oneness. It's still only oneness, because it's a ray of Him, and He is one. The name of God represents, just like name is the way you relate to others. Others call you by your name. You don't need your name for yourself. So Hashem's name is His emanation to others. That is called the infinite light. This is also utterly one. But that is very nice, okay? Because of course there's one. There's never been challenged the oneness. But then God challenges His oneness by shattering vessels and creating a world of billions of egos, billions of entities. And He sends the Jew down to bring down oneness. And the Jew has to come, Mika Amcha Yisrael, and who is like your nation Israel? Goy Echad, they're a nation of one. Ba'aretz, in the multiplicity, in the world where every creation screams, I am, where everything denies the unity of God. In that world, the Jew is able to extend the oneness of Hashem. That in the creation should sense that every being is also a creation of Hashem here to serve Him. Omika amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz, in the earth, and somewhere else in the other Maimi explained that's the idea of v'hoya zaracha kafara aretz, that your children are going to be kafara aretz, like the earth, like the dust of the earth, because where do we see the greatest degree of multiplicity of many? In the kechol hayam, like the sand by the sea. What's the idea of the sand by the sea? They're, each one is billions of separate, and they don't connect. They're together, but they're so dry, and they're alone, each one. And the point over here is to bring bitla unity. I thought of this. It doesn't say that in the Maimon. That how do you connect the sand to each other? You pour water. Water is chachma. Water is bitla. It's transparent. Mayim of Chachma, Torah is called Mayim. That's what we bring. We water the sand, and bringing all the little specks of life, the specks of existence, all together into oneness, into Mika Amcha. And that's why, or else why he's comparing Jews to sand and Kechol Hayam, because that's the target. The target is to reach the most details of details. And that's why it is so important to bring God into the details of your life. Not enough to have just a general moment. It's those very moments, the little details, the little nuances of existence, to fill every moment, to fill every second of life with godly content. She'im hayoyis sheba'aretz, that in the earth, who apirid hayoyis agadol, that's the most separated. She'ikur apirid v'aribu hu basiyo, the main multiple fragmentation and riboy and multiple is basia. Afopikan, nevertheless, Hayisroel, Ayadeh Avedasan, Vetairasan, the Jew through his Torah, through his service, and through his Torah, Hamoisim Shamgam Kain Echad. They bring Echad even there, Shehem Mailim Anetzutis. They lift up the sparks, Shenaflu Sham Beshviras Akelim, that have fallen there in Shviras Akelim, Sheyis Alu Ba'achdas Hashem. That all this will be elevated into the unity of Hashem. And this is the idea of what this explains to us this week's Torah portion. The Shvatim are sitting and they're gathering sheaves. They're bundling sheaves. What is this whole bundling? What is the idea of the bundling of the sheaves? Why is Yosef's dream about them picking up the stalks of grain and making bundles out of them? Because the 12 Shvatim are the 12 heads of the Jewish people, of Bria, and that's where they enter the world already of separation, because they're entering into 12. Higher than that, they're still embedded in Yaakov. Yaakov is one. But as they enter, and the job of the souls coming down in is to pick up the individual stalks and to bound them together, that it's not just a separate entity, they're all united for one particular purpose. And that is what it means, and we were all gathering things in the field. This was also the avoid of the Shvatim, Reuven and Shimon, etc. Their job was to rectify and elevate and refine the sparks, shenaflu b'chinas pirut, that have fallen into a state of detachment, b'shiras hakelim, and the shattering of the vessels, And they elevated it, and they elevated it in a manner of feminine waters, to get absorbed in their original source prior to their fragmentation, prior to their disunity. Meaning to say like this, that it just this process of picking up and raising up the world towards God, the things should be reunited with Hashem from their state of dispersion, that concept of coming is called feminine waters, because in Hashem there is the aspect of God, masculine and feminine. Masculine is the level of Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the level of Atta Echad, the level that totally transcends all of existence. That's the detached aspect of God, as He's above all of creation in His infinite self. The Shekhinah is feminine, and the Shekhinah is that part of God that gets involved in the creation. Meaning those sparks that have entered into the creation. The Malchus of Atzilus, we said, is the source of Shem Ban, of that element of the splinterization of those energies that get crumbed and broken into the various force, life force of creation. So now, the Shekhinah rising to her husband means that it's called feminine waters, meaning like the woman going to her husband. So that's the lifting up of feminine waters, a coming from below to Hashem, coming back from distant, coming back from that separation to reunite with Him, to reunite creation with the Creator. That's called the feminine waters. Where were they doing it? In the field. Why were they working? Okay, simply because that's where the grain is, in the field. But mystically, there is a reason why. There is a reason why we're speaking about the gathering of the things in the field. Because as we said before, what is the point where all the creations were united before they fell into that state of fragmentation and disunification? Where was the point of... The last place where they were was in Malchus of Atzilus, because Atzilus, Malchus of Atzilus is the lowest point of the world of unity. From there, we learned earlier, Misham Yipare, from there is already the separation. So when you want to bring them back to the state of nullification and unity with God, what do you have to bring them back to? You have to bring them back to Malchus of Atzilus. Surrender totally to the King, totally one with Hashem. Going back to Malchus, and Malchus Atzilus is called field. I mentioned earlier, it's called the field. It's called the apple orchard. So you have to bring it back to the apple orchard, into the field. Let's read it. To bring it back. And that's how they were all united. They unified. They became unified in the oneness of Hashem. They became unified in God's attribute of sovereignty. Simply words, it means that instead of each creation seeing itself as somebody on its here for its own purpose, they now revealing how the only reason they are who they are is to be able to facilitate God's sovereignty, and a king has to have many servants. So their very manyness and their very diversity is because that's the beauty of a king, that he has so many different beings who all surrender to him. So that's what means you. That's what it means to bring them back up into the state of Malchus. And that's the meaning of what? Of ma'almim alumim, of gathering sheaves. Al derech mashal, k'moy shekoyshim ha'omrim, shemakatsim kam v'shibolim rabim. This is by way of analogy, just like you bind sheaves. What are you doing? You're taking individual stalks. Ma'oid, ma'chabrim oysam and unite. V'koyshim oysam ba'guda, and you tie them all with a knot, achas. And then it becomes a sheaf, ki yidua. In the beginning, these things were all separate. Zem is that one from the other. And through this tying, they get united. The same is also the idea of elevating the sparks. Elevating the sparks. Yeah, refining, doing the refining process, elevating the sparks. When one elevates them from the mountains of separation, the world of Klipa, the world of the unholy, is called mountains of separation. Why mountain? Because just like a mountain announces its existence, full of itself, the mountain. So the world of Klipa is a mountain. They're called a mountain of apartness. Leskalu. So now you're uniting them to become b'pchinas man, to become feminine waters ba'achdus Hashem, in the unity of Hashem. Shenimtzu nasu v'nichlalu b'pchinas echad. They've all become united and reabsorbed in the oneness of God. B'pchinas echad mamish, literally in His oneness. From their original state when they were fragmented and separated. This is what it means to gather sheaves. Hainu ha'olas ha'nitzutzis. They're raising up the sparks. B'pchinas man in a state of feminine water. And where do they do it? B'toich ha'sadeh, in the field. Because the point where you have to bring it to is the point where all of existence was contained in Malchus prior to them becoming four separate entities, which is the state of awareness of the world of Bria. That's not perfect Bittul yet, because you still have an ego, some sense of self. To go back to a total nullification, total surrender, as they are embedded in Malchus, Hu Pchinas Chakal Tapuchen, which is the apple orchard, Shehu Malchus Shehi Malchus Tatzilus, which is the level of Malchus of Atzilus. This is where we send up all the sparks. It's all included and embedded in that place. Now the Alter Rebbe gives further insight on why it's called bundling sheaves. Why do we use the word ma'almim alumim? Maybe we should say koishrim ksharim, knotting knots. Why this ma'almim alumim? Okay. Alumim means a bundle, but it has another meaning. Ilem means mute. Ma'almim alumim means bringing muteness, causing the world to be mute. What is the idea of mute? So that's the second aspect to it. Because what does speech mean? Speech is something you don't really need for yourself. Speech is only a way that you transmit to others, transmit influence to others, to influence others of your opinions and your ideas and whatever it is. So you use your speech to convey to others. Now, a person can only be in a state of conveying, can only be a mashpia, can only be a giver, if they're not, they have to have some sense of identity, some sense of beingness, have to have some self-awareness. If you are in a state of total nullification to your source, to where you come from, then being that you're completely absorbed in your source, you can't transmit. There is that halachic, there is a halacha that we know in halacha, that when something in Hilchus Kashrus, when something is absorbing, at that moment, it can't be spitting out. Eidah the Tarat, the Rebbe uses this always, that how does he send shluchim, how does he send people into the world to influence others? So the rule goes two ways. When you're absorbed in giving, when you're in a state of spitting out, then you can't absorb. So if you're involved in trying to influence a person, no matter who that person is, even if you're afraid that they can influence you, you won't be influenced because you're completely absorbed in the transmitting. The same is also the opposite. If you're completely absorbed in receiving, because you're nullified, you see your source as the source of your existence, then you have no identity and you're not able to transmit. So when the world, when every identity is in a state of pirud, separation, before we bring rectification, so the world has a voice. It makes noise. Every creation makes a lot of noise. Every being speaks, you know, about itself and what it thinks. And but when we bring the world to Torah, it says by Matan Torah, by the giving of the Torah, when Hashem revealed Himself, there was absolute silence. And the birds didn't chirp, and the butterflies didn't, or the flies didn't, the wings didn't flap, and the oceans were silent. All of existence reached total silence, because everything was nullified at that moment to its source. So that's the idea of Ma'alma Malum. So Oizah is Masha Nikra Allah's Ma'alma Losh Ma'alma Malum, and Malosh Ila, muteness. She'eni Yachal Adabar, he can't speak. Since the point, the whole idea of raising something up, feminine waters means to bring, to be mevatel, to nullify the yesh, the beingness, something becomes totally nullified to be reabsorbed in Hashem. So then it's in a state of muteness. It can't speak. It can't influence to the other. Because that means you're a somebody. You can give. And since this main halah is to bring it back to a state of surrender, it's opposite of transmitting. And it's called mute. And this is similar to the idea of when something is holding a middle absorbing, it can't transmit. And this, we once spoke about this concept. We spoke that there are 42 masois. We learned Lahavan Inyan HaMasois. We once learned the Maimer about that. Why there were 42 encampments in the Midbar a couple of months ago. And 42 was the seven spheros, the seven spheres the Jews had to rectify, but they're only 7 times 6, which is 42. And we asked the question, why isn't it 7 times 7, which is 49? Sphira Sa'imer, we said, is 7 times 7, 49. How come in the Midbar they only travel 42 times? And the reason, one reason was, because Malchus is about transmitting. Malchus is speech, it's about transmitting. When this, the point of the travelings were to elevate. When you elevate, there's no Malchus, because Malchus is then absorbed. Malchus doesn't have a voice, because it's, you don't notice the Malchus. There's no hashpa to the other. Sfiras Oimer is all about Hamshacha, drawing down light. It's a difference if you're raising up or if you're drawing down. When you're drawing down, everybody's speaking to the next level. When you're rising up to your source, then there is no, then there is silence. There's no, yeah. So, Kinyan, that's the idea. The Sfiras Oimer, how you mem tes yamin. Keep the Sfiras Oimer, because the Sfiras Oimer, Shram Shachas Yesh. That is drawing things down to an express state, b'chol midah, every attribute, b'chinas gilui, to be revealed. So then, malchus the chesed, you have the malchus of every yesh. Mashek v'masos halos, hepecha gilui, the opposite of gilui ayinsha. Ki hinei nabi kvo behold, hadibur sheba adam, because speech in man, ein et tzarech loy, a human being doesn't need a speech, rak v'shul adaber luzulasa, it's only to speak to someone other than yourself. When you're standing by yourself, you don't have to speak. So to spiritual entities also speak. What does it mean they speak? They don't have a physical voice. Their speech, the content of their speech is, they transmit from one to the other. That's called speech. There is a speech in them. We find in the Gemara, two spirits are talking to each other. The guy went to sleep in the cemetery and he heard spirits talking. The idea is a transmitting taking place from one, a downloading. One is downloading to the other, transmitting to the other. Who b'chinas koyach hashpa, the power of influencing lizulah say to someone else. Me'ei lo li'ol from the cause to effect from one to the next. Zeh, this is only kasha elohu mohus b'fnayatma. When the source has some self identity, oz yachal hashpia lo olo, then he can be mashpia to the recipient. But when he is still stuck in his source, he's too contained or is too involved in receiving from above, then it's nullified to its source, and it has no power to influence to someone else, because he's totally nullified. Like we've brought this mashal many times, when people are totally taken by something, you're watching a show and it's, or something, you're seeing something that is just awesomely amazing. So at those moments there is silence, even in a stadium where people are all excited about the screaming and shouting, but when there's something in act, there's something that is just ultimately frightening, or suddenly everybody is silent. Then when they, a minute later, they can talk about it and scream and shout and tell everybody. But at that moment, why? Because at that moment you're lost, you lose yourself as if you don't exist, because you're totally absorbing that phenomenon. You're absorbing that, so there is a muteness. So when all of existence is absorbing, they can't speak. This state of affairs is also called pregnancy. The child is absorbed in the mother. Once the child is going to be born, it becomes an entity onto its own. And when it becomes an entity, eventually it will start speaking. The child will become a gansamach. But when the child is still in the mother's womb, it's still completely absorbed in the parent. It doesn't have an identity. It's completely in a state of absorbing from the mother, being developed for itself, and therefore not in any ability to transmit and to give on further. Balderech upchinas bittel zesha davik beilasoi, and this state of bittel hu alderech mashal ha'ibur is the symbol to the idea of a fetus kishu bebetan imay, when it's in the mother's womb, she'ena mohus b'fnayatma, then it's not an entity unto its own. It eats what the mother eats, meaning it's completely, it's a detail in the mother. The Gemara says that Uber, a fetus, is called Yerach Imoy. He's called his mother's thigh, or the mother, means it's part of the mother. After the birth, it becomes a being unto its own. Until it's able to speak, sometimes it can't stop speaking. And the similar is what? Also understood in the Birurim, Sha'olim b'chinas man. When we say the feminine word is rise, means that all of existence has to go back to a state of impregnation, or being impregnated, or in contained within their source, in Hashem, in a state of total bittul to Him, being as a fetus. V'nechlalim b'chinas ibur b'yesoid de nukva. They go back in a state of ibur in yesod of nukva, which is the womb of the shechina, as if to say, all of existence goes back to that state. All of existence is originally first is a yesh, is a somebody. You're able to transmit to others. But when you go back to a state of feminine waters, totally nullified to the infinite one, blessed is he, and utterly connected to him, that's going back to a state of ibor, of pregnancy, then you have no voice because you're not an entity on your own. You eat what the mother eats, and therefore nikra'az alumim. That's why they're called mute and silent. So what is the point of the shvatim? Ma'almim alumim, to bind things together, to create sheaves, but also the idea of bringing things. So it's amazing. It brings out the two interpretations of the word alumen, sheaves, and also mute, represent the two aspects which one is interrelated to the other that we have to create in the world. One is unity, and things only come together. But when is there unity? When do things come together? When they're nullified. When everybody's an ego onto its own, egos clash. So that when there is the unification and the bittul to the above, then you have it together, and it's also mute and it's silent. In silence, you can sit together. When everybody's talking, then everybody's on their own thing. So there is a... Yeah?
Today, you did cause and effect, both ways, correlation. How do we, can we see that there's a... When the unification comes silence, and vice versa,
Yeah, it works.
It works both ways.
That's right, yeah. That's what you say to people, if you just be a little quiet, you'll get you'll hear each other, It's to bring some muteness, so you can. What does a counselor have to do when there's an argument or something? You have to just get one to at least. That they should have the silence to be able to hear what the other says. So that silence of lack of expression of what I think and what I want, and this, that sound you can hear and you can bond with each other. Yeah. Oh, so the unity brings the silence. Oh, that's what you're asking. If unity will bring the silence, I guess. Yes. That's why we know a lot of times there's two ways. Rebbe always speaks, there's two ways to go about uniting with other Jews. One of them is to daven really well, connecting to your inner core, finding your essential, finding the point of your inner achdus Hashem that's in you, and then you feel totally united with every Jew, you reach out. Rebbe says, what happens if you find that you can't daven so well, you can't connect to your neshama? So start the other way. Reach out and love every Jew. Connect to every yid with simple love to another Jew. Automatically, that's going to bring you to your inner neshama. So there's two ways of there's the unity bringing to the achdus, to the muteness, and then there's the muteness bringing to the unity. Two directions that it can go. Now, the al derech ze yuvan sheyesh gamkin ibur shein. No, wait. Zayin yachol. Kamar shein koydem alav is the hoy b'chnas yeshtam b'zashpia el shayi dey Allah zu through this ascent. Nasib chenas umen, they become mutes. Al derech ze yuvan sheyesh gamkein ibur sheini la'achad aleda. So this we understand that there is a second ibur, meaning according to what we learned now, things were once in a pregnant state, then they became what? Then they became a being, born as being. Now the thing is, the point of creation is that the creations that were born should climb back into the womb. So that's called ibur sheini. They were already once in a state of being impregnated, but now they have to come out. That was the purpose of creation, that they go out to be distinct beings, and then they have to make your way back to the mother, to the shechina, to be reabsorbed in the shechina. Ibur sheini. Zera yerushka gam ki ibur sheini la'achar aleit k'moshkos beit chayim. Now, b'shvil am shachas moichin de gadlus, in order to draw down higher moichin de gadlus, a higher vitality, higher illumination. There needs to be utter bittul. That's the second ibur. Even after it has been created with a certain moichin, a certain influence. Moichin is generally, even though it means brains or intellect, but it generally refers to every divine, it's not intellectual only. It's every divine influence that you have. It's called moichin. And you have that, and you're able to give to others. Now you have to go back into a total state of bittul, and nasa b'chinas ilam you become. And that's really the idea of ratzei v'shuv, constantly running back into davening so you can go and transmit to the world, coming to a state of bittul. Stacked with the idea of that the shliach always has to go back to his rebbe to get the, because by the rebbe he's quiet. You know, in his town he's a whole noisy shliach. He talks and gives speeches and makes some trumbles and machzagan zazak. When he comes back to his rebbe, you know, then he's silent. He's only the rebbe. So that's the point, because you have to go back to that state of bittul, and once you're bittul, you can receive new meichin, a much higher revelation, then intelligence, and then go ahead and transmit that further. Those who think that have been enlightened one time, and as a result of that, they have it forever, doesn't work. Yeah.
We said before about spinning out and absorbing.
Yeah. Yeah, but the bittul, seif kol seif, works that you're bittul, meaning retaining the awareness that you're a messenger, but you have to step away from total bittul. That's why Rebbe said you have to have your own mind, you have to figure out things on your own, you can't just come to ask me everything. It's that idea of getting some sort of, you know, stand on your own feet. But know that you're in a state, you can't stay, we learned it in the other mind, but we can't stay in Shemayna Esrei bowing down the whole day. That's not the purpose. We have to transmit. But we have to also go back to that total bittul. The heim markava lebchinas, this idea of Shabbos in the week. I mean, all of Judaism can be explained in this so much of it. The heim markava lebchinas malchus. That's I missed it. Ata va'ata miskalo v'zeh ibar sheni bebchinas ibatach zebit liyeh. The nasa bchinas ulam mikav kedei shaydei bittul zeh shal akach moichni yeh. The hine kol zeh hayavoides hashvatim. This was all the avoid of the Shvatim, Shehen Ba'olam Abriya, which they are, where their spiritual root is in the world of Briya. Levad mi Yosef Shehu Matzilis. The reason why Yosef stands in the middle is because Yosef was a much higher soul. And Yosef was from the world of Atzilis, Kedele Kamanam Yer Tashem, as he's going to explain soon, what was Yosef's superior status over the rest of the Shvatim. The Hem Markava, and they were a chariot, Lepchenas Malchus Tatzilis. The level of the neshamas of the Shvatim were, they were the first creations that were created from Malchus of Atzilus, which is the source of where God transmits to the creation. And at that point, they were totally nullified to Him. Their job was to lift up what is lower than them and to bring it up to Malchus of Atzilus. Ma'almen alumen b'tay chasada. They're the ones who are bringing from here, transmitting into Malchus. They're helping the world to go back into fetus state. And where was this all? It's amazing. Where was all this scene? In the Beis HaMikdash, when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, we know he built the whole Beis HaMikdash to represent the whole paradigm and the whole system. So there was something called the Yam Shel Shlomo. The Sea of Shlomo. What was the Yam Shel Shlomo? That was a huge brass dome. That was in the Beis HaMikdash, a brass dome, that had, coming from it, statues of, the dome sat above 12 oxen. There were three on one side, three on the other side, three on this side, and three on this side. Those were the oxen. And above them was the dome. The dome was called the Yam, the sea. That sea of brass, that sea, that dome, reflected the idea of Malchus of Atzilus, which is still in the world of Atzilus, but that's the source of the four rivers or the four realms of angels or the four general collective levels of souls, Yehuda, the various banners as we spoke earlier. And that's where those 12 oxen, that's the root of the 12 Shvatim in this world, Avram. Yaakov, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, they're completely, they're Markav of Atzilus. They were not creations. In a sense, meaning their sense of awareness, they were almost like divine expressions, because they had no ego whatsoever. They were in a state of Atzilus. The Shvatim, however, were already a lower stage. That's why they're not called the Avos, they're not the fathers. They're already the children. And their children, meaning they have already an identity. They're the level of Bria, very subtle identity, but already an identity. But their job is to deal with the Yeshus of the world, with the being, and to bring everything back to the place of Bittul. V'zehu, v'hu k'inin yud beis bakar shu b'yam shel shlom, shem yud beis b'chinas shebereisha Bria. That represents the 12 levels in the beginning of Bria. V'yam oimed aleihem, and the sea that stands above them, hu b'chinas malchus tatzilus, is malchus of Atzilus. V'lezois, and therefore, ikar avaydasam, their main avayda, v'halos man mahabirurim, their main avayda, and their main raising of feminine waters from the virudim, from what that which they've elevated, shebiru bibiya, that which they elevated from the world's bria, yetzira nasiya, hayamagia adam malchus tatzilus. They sent it, they transmitted it back up to malchus of Atzilus, the point of unity before things collapse, before things fragment. And in that place, the feminine waters became absorbed. They gathered the bundles into the field. That was the destination. However, he's going to say now, bringing back things up to the level of the Shechina, bringing things back up to the level of Malchus Atzilus, is not the ultimate ascent. That's the farthest and the highest that mortal human beings can bring it up to. But that is still limited. Why? Because at that state, the creations are creations. They're entities. They're entities that are completely surrendered to Him. They're not literally God yet. The creations are still a something, but a something that's totally nullified. To bring the sparks of Tayu back to their original source, before these sparks fell, they weren't creations that were nullified to God. They were an expression of God Himself. Nothing other than God Himself. So now the sparks have to be brought to a deeper level of bittul, to a higher level of nullification, to a higher stage of refinement. Meaning the Shvatim were able to divest the sparks and to elevate them from independent sense of existence to an existence that feels itself utterly dependent on God, but still an existence. Because the creation can't pull itself up by its own hair. I mean, you can't transcend yourself. At the highest you can be, you can reach the point of a somebody that's going there, but you're still always going to retain some sense of very subtle awareness of beingness. To be able to take that final leap of totally breaking free of being a creation and becoming completely absorbed in the Creator, for that you need divine influence. You need Hashem to extend His self. That you can't do on your own, that no creation can do on his own. And that's the idea of Yosef. Yosef was, in the world of Atzilus, reaching down. So what the Shvatim brought up, Yosef would stand and make that final take to have everything be brought into the ultimate, into the true Achdus of Hashem. So that, the So now, Amnam Yeduah is known, Shahaman that the Mayan Nukvin, Afalpi. This week I saw a story. I just related to this, but Rabbi Chamasmit was one of the great Hasidim of the previous Rabbi. He was called a Beinani. He's a Chasid who was completely absorbed in Chasidus in the highest manner. A Chasid who, they said, he's a Beinani. A Beinani means someone who was impossible for him to sin. He couldn't, never, not even one tiny little thing. He was whole life perfect. The perfect Jew, davened for 8-9 hours a day, totally. One time he came in with a colleague of his inter shul, and everybody stood up to him. Now, Chabad Chassidim don't stand up so fast for people. But for him, they stood up. It's a master. So he went like this. So his friend later reprimanded him, and he said, why did you think they stood up for you? Maybe they stood up for me? So you went like this. Who told you they stood up for you? And then maybe they stood up for me. And he said, and didn't we learn in Tanya that any physical you did it because that was your natural reaction. Didn't we learn in Tanya that natural reaction comes from klipa, comes from your animal soul? Because that, if it's not coming through your mind, if it doesn't come through your avoda of thinking it through and say, it was an impulsive reaction, it wasn't a reflective move. It came because, you considered. So he listened to him, and then I don't know if right away, but he called the Farbrengen, and he sat by Farbrengen for hours. And someone who told the story was there by that Farbrengen. He spoke for hours on the idea, how he totally didn't integrate. You're supposed to, when you learn Tanya, he says you're supposed to integrate every chapter, and make it part of your being to become totally one with you. He had totally one parak in Tanya. Totally didn't. The Alter Rebbe says that he speaks about the idea of havei shval ruach perik lamed in Tanya b'fnei kol adam, that a person should feel himself lowlier than every person. And the Alter Rebbe says it means kol adam mamish, literally every person. So he says if I would have integrated that, if I would have davened with that, and not to the point, then I would have I'm definitely lower than you. I would have sensed that in my inner being. I would have sensed that I'm lower than you, and I would have felt, of course, they're standing up for you. It wouldn't even come up to my thing that I should think that they're standing up for me. Of course, right? But that subtle feeling of, and he said that the only way to be able to dig out the subtle ego that is embedded in the deepest psyche, in the heartness, the only way to do that is through Tanya, because Tanya digs at the very core of man's ego. Is the only, I guess, because Tanya is that transmitting of the world of Atzilus, of from that place, it's higher, it's not human wisdom, it's not Musar that is wisdom from below, it's divine wisdom coming from above that enables to get to the very core quintessence of ego, to dig it out from there. And he went on explaining that the Helam Atzmi of Klipa, so Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai didn't know which way he's going. It says before he died, he said, I don't know which way I'm going. He was a perfect Jew. He did Yochanan ben Zakkai. And that is because he said, I don't know what's going on with the subconscious, the sublineal, the inner. So that's the subtleness of ego. And these Hasidim were so sensitive to it, even the tiniest bit of that metzias of beingness was so despicable, like something that's totally out. That's the point. The Shvatim are, after all is said and done, their creations. And they have that at the very core of their existence, some sense of I. So to totally transcend the I, to a point where they are, it wouldn't even occur to go like this, like that's a tzaddik, that's not a beinoni. And in a sense, the Shvatim were for sure tzaddikim. But in comparatively, as I'm saying, we call them the beinoni. The people who are human and rise to the highest place of that a human can submit himself to Hashem. The Zewam Ma'alm, okay, Omnam Yidua, it is known, Shahaman, that the man, Afa Pisha Kvar Nichlal Betchenas Malchus Adayin, that the feminine waters that get absorbed in Malchus, Hutzarech Bidur Sheni, it needs a second bitter, a second refinement. Al Yidei Hamad, it needs to be again refined through the masculine energy, which means this whole process is feminine energy. Lifting it up to the highest, the creations are lifting themselves up towards God, submitting themselves to the God to the highest level that they're capable of submitting themselves. But then they need masculine energy, meaning masculine influence means Hashem has to extend themselves, shine His light on them to completely absorb them, that they should, even that tiny subtle beingness has to be stripped away. So this is the idea of masculine waters, that to create, v'hushanimshach mad, v'hushanimshach, and this is the idea of mad. Mad means masculine. So the woman producing and then the man giving. The zah, which is the idea of what? Of ze'er ampin. That's the masculine energies of Atzilus. You know, in Atzilus there's the Shechina, which is the feminine. And then there is the six attributes of zah. Zah means small continents, referring to the six emotions, divine emotions, transmitting to Malchus. From above, they're transmitted from above. Malchus rises from below. Malchus is a levarer haman, to refine the man, the mayan nukvan, the nukvan, the zeh, and to have that elevated state be completely absorbed in holiness. The zeh inyan yichud zun. That's the idea of the yichud of zun. Particularly, the power of mad of mayan duchrin is. It's the power of. It's really in the process of creating a child. There is the woman's ovulating, and then there's the transmitting of the man. And the transmitting of the man is to take that which has been already refined. Now that which she elevates, which she brings, is what is also already refined from all the food that she's eaten, from everything, brought it to a state of it's ready, But then it needs the transmitting from above. And the Alter Rebbe explains that where does the man's creative energy come from? It comes from the Chachma, it comes from the Meichen. Because that's the power of total Bittul. That is extended and to fertilize and to enable the things to create a child. And the idea is, even though the sparks have already been elevated, and they've been elevated to the highest state of man, they're in a state of nullification to Lakus, they're not able to become totally unified in godliness. Before Shvirus HaKelim, they weren't something that was nullified to God. They were God Himself. It was literally God. They were part of this 10 attributes of Tayu. So in order for them to do that, they need Gilui Shem Mad Atzilus. There needs to be an Atzilus energy. This is all Bia rising. Bria Tzilus. They need a Atzilus influence. Now what is the force of Atzilus, we said? The power of Chachma. Koach Ma. The power of what? So that's what he's saying. Till you need Gilui Shem Ma Datzilus. Ma, that's the idea of Yichud Ma and Ban. We always speak about a marriage and a husband and a wife and masculine and feminine. Is Ma and Ban. Ban is the highest the creations can rise. Ma is the power of a Lukus extending itself to the Ban, to the energy of Ban, to totally absorb it. Vayadeze Yizbarer Bitter Sheni. This is the second Bitter. Vahua Iker. And this is the main bitter. Yan, why? Because this is a result. B'chachma dafke is biridu. It needs the energy of chachma, which is totally selfless. Shehu b'chinas amad, which is the masculine energy. Ki abirur harishayin, the first bitter, hayarakshi yebecham bitl hayesh. That's only to take them out from a state of utter self, being self-absorbed, to being batal tashem. V'zehu rachik adayim elokus ma'oyit. This is still very far from God. The because an Atzilus Hashem is literally one with His creations, not that they're nullified to Him. They're one with Him. Shehem b'pchenas bitul amiti. They're completely one. Elai yedei shenimshach b'hem b'pchenas mad. Through this, that the mayin duchen, the masculine waters, are drawn to them. Shehu ha'ar Hashem ma, which is an extension of the name of ma. Levareram, to refine them, oz nichlal b'bitul amiti b'lukus. Then they become truly unified in God. A commercial, and he gives an incredible example over here, a beautiful example for this idea. He says the way we refine, one of the ways we refine the world is, we eat, we drink, we collect substances from the creation to enable us to facilitate our lives. Clothing, a home, a car, your computer and your phone and your toothbrush and your pillow, all these things become integrated into your life. You're a Jew. A Jew is supposed to serve Hashem with love. In davening, you meditate on holy things. You create love for Hashem. And then you create a love and fear, ultimate love and fear. What created the love and fear? The food that you ate. Because without the food and the eat, you couldn't have the energy to experience love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. So now you've elevated all the sparks and turned it into your love and fear. But the love and the fear, as high as you go, it's still your love and it's still your fear. You're still a somebody in that love. I love. And I love to God. It's great to love, but still it's you. So you're still detached from the absolute truth. What happens the next stage is that after you love Hashem to the ultimate love and you're still thirsting for more, and you can't to the ultimate capacity of love, then Hashem bestows upon you love and fear from above. And then you're loving God with a divine love, not with a human love. Which means, it's not like, till then you're drawing to Him, then He's absorbing you in that love. It's called a half of a year that is given from above. And this is, in other words, it's something like this. The love and the fear that you're capable of producing comes from a creation knowing His Creator. So you're not really connecting to Hashem, you're connecting to that which you can perceive of Him. But if we can actually experience Him, as He really is, then that elevates the love and the fear and the attachment to an infinitely higher level, to a point where it's not even love anymore. You can't love, you're just absorbed in His light. That's the idea. Man elevates to the highest. Then he has to wait for a half of a year that comes from above. It's given as a gift. Avodas Matana Etanas Kuhuna. This is called Kahuna. Kahuna is love that comes from above. Levi is the love that comes from below. It's also Kohen and Levi. Levi is that which the rising upwards, Kohen is the transmitting downwards. And that's what it says by Kohuna. It says, Avoides matana etenes kohunaschem. This is a gift from above. The level of Kohuna can't come. It's a divine influence. It's not a human achievement. That's what he says. Let's read it. The commercial ba'adam, just like man. Shemavari berurim adei sha'eichel v'sha'ese. He refines, does elevates things through eating and drinking. V'achekach mispalel, and then he prays b'ahav v'yira, with love and fear, ayadei koyach zeh sha'achel v'sha'ese. Through this power that you've eaten and you drank, shenimtza nichle luach hayah shalom achol v'amashkim. So now it comes out that it becomes included, the energy of the food and the drinks, shenaflu b'shviras ha'kelim, that have collapsed. B'pchinas ahav v'yira shaloi, you've now reached, elevated them and brought them into your love. As high as it is, it's still very, very far from what? From the real echad, the true echad of a lukus. However, when as a result of man's feminine waters, of man's love and fear that rise to the peak of human achievement, so when it's drawn from Hashem, love and fear from above, and that means a dread, that's what we say, falls upon a person, tipol aleim, meaning it's not your creation, something you've been enveloped in an experience that's much bigger than you. Shetipol alev ema, it descends upon man this fear, az yuchlelu b'ahav v'yirizu, then one becomes absorbed in this love. Shenimshuchum amalo b'pchinas alakus mamish, that's already godly, that's divine. So now you become absorbed in godliness, v'al derech zehu bir sheni damad, and this is similar to this, is the idea that we can elevate the feminine waters and then the masculine waters have to finish and complete the rectification process. And now he says just something stunning. Even Rabbi Akiva, who the ultimate of Mesiras Nefesh, he gave up everything in a day. They were combing him with iron, with metal combs. And he said, all my life I've been waiting to be able to give my life up. That's what I wanted, to totally melt into God's life. Even that Mesiras Nefesh is still not, it's still a creation's Mesiras Nefesh. Even that isn't godly. Because there's still some identity there. It's his desire. I want to be subsumed. But who is the I? There is no I. What do you mean you want? But even that, in its most subtlest thing, is still some I. So he says, what happened where Rabbi Kiva was? The moment he reached his Echad, his desire, it descended upon him, the real Echad, meaning he was suddenly swept up by the real energy of Echad, in God's Echad. And then that's what enabled Rabbi Akiva to become completely integrated into the divine, his soul to become completely one with Hashem. But as long as it's his desire to become that mysterious nefesh, it still has, in a very subtle way, some element of creation to it, as opposed to being just Achdus Hashem, just Hashem. The Rabbi Akiva and even Rabbi Akiva, sheyatzay neshmasay be'echad, which his soul went out in this echad, im calls that nevertheless had a mesiras nefesh ala nivra, even the mesiras nefesh of the creation, rochay kadayim elokus, is still very plenty far from elokus. Elashanim shachalav. So, but what happened? Elashanim shachalav aadam mepchenas echad emes. Hashem shone upon him the aara from real echad. Then his mesiras nefesh becomes absorbed in the real echad. Similar to when your child is trying to figure out some math problems, they do it for the much that you can, or they're doing some or they're being. You come in and you add your thing, and they make a little project and they do whatever they color, and then the adult comes and turns it into the real thing, sort of like that. So same, and then you say, the child says, "Wow, look what I made! My mommy did most of it, but." I did it, because you let them do to the most they can do, and then you put the finishing touches which really give it that higher. Same as also, our avoda can only be to a certain extent, and then we ultimately have to surrender to something, to influence coming from above. And that's the idea that the Shvatim had to surrender to Yosef, because Yosef represented that transmitting from above. But they didn't want to do it. We'll see why soon. Why they didn't want it. Because the reason why they didn't do it, because they misinterpreted who they are. They thought that they come from a higher place than where they really came from. So they thought they were equal to Yosef. But the truth was that they weren't. This is also the idea, lemeheve echad be'echad. See, in Kedavna, when we say Friday night, the part we say that the Shabbos, there's a unity, that it should be one, echad be'echad. Lemeheve echad be'echad. Echad v'echad means there is the echad of malchus. We know there is two types of yichud. There's yichud elah and there's yichud tata. Yichud elah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Is called a higher pronunciation of Achdus Hashem. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Le'olam Vod is what? A lower form of Achdus Hashem. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Le'olam Vod. Why is this called lower unity and this is called a higher unity? It says that the word Va'ed and the word Achad are the same letters. It's the same meaning, but it's the exchange of letters. We're not going to get into how that exchanges. But the Va'ed is really the same idea, but the point is like this. Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Eleinu Vod is the highest type of surrender to God that the creations can do. We surrender to God's sovereignty. But the mere fact that you're acknowledging that there's sovereignty, meaning there's Him and there's me, and I'm surrendered to Him. Well, you can't go past that. That's Baruch Shem, that's the lower. It's called Yichud Tata, the lower Yichud. Then there is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad. There aren't any creations, there's only Him. So a deeper, much higher, God's perspective on His unity, not our perspective. And when we rise to the highest peak of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Eleinu Vod, our Yichud of Baruch Shem gets absorbed in the Shema Yisrael and the higher. That's the idea of Echad and Echad coming together. And really, this is the idea of the weekday and Shabbos. The weekday, we can reach the highest point of the world of Bria, elevate things. Shabbos comes, there's Yichud Elah that comes to match. Our Echad from below is matched. That's what we're saying, Lameva Echad ve'Echad. That the Echad from below, we learned that also in the other Maamar Parsha. We were learning that the spark that we bring up through our Avodah, Bitul Ayesh, during the week, we were learning, this is all about the idea of the there's the Shabbos as it extends to the week, and there is Shabbos itself. Shabbos itself is Chachma itself. It's Kodesh itself. And the rest of the week, we have to draw the energy of Kodesh into the week. It's not that same Bittul, same idea. But all these Maamarim that we learn, they all come together, because it's really all Echad, it's all oneness, as everything comes back to the source. So now, that's the idea of Zaylamah, Echad v'yachad, one-to-one. Shepchinas Echad yichud etato, which is the Echad of the lower unity, Bittul Ayesh, which is the Bittul of Yesh. Bittul Ayesh meaning, the two words that are used in Chassidus for this is, Bittul Ayesh meaning, there is a Yesh, there is a somebody, and the somebody is nullified. And then there is a concept called Bittul B'metzius. Bittul B'metzius is, that you're b'chlal not, you're not a, you're totally nullified. A Belzer Chassid was once telling me, he's challenging me. But again, he had to be a Belzer Chassid who knew something, because otherwise he couldn't talk. So he told me from one of the stories that there was one of the Chabad Chassidim who was in Belz, in Boy One of them. And the Belzer Rebbe asked him, like, what do you people do? Like, we're Chabad. He said, we do the Avoid and the Avoid of Bittul Ayesh and so on and so forth. So the Belzer Rebbe said, who told you you're a Yesh, that you have someone to be? Who told you you're somebody, that you need to be Mevatel that somebody? First you have to be a somebody. You're a stamina, right? So that's the idea, that there is a higher, that's the side of a tzaddik. But the point that the Alter Rebbe wanted to bring out is the main Avoid is not Bittul B'metzias, because then a God would have not created us to be Metzias. The main Avoid is Bittul Ayesh. But we have to know that we can bring things up to a certain place, and then we have to give it up to whatever, to someone higher from above, who can actually make that. And that's why, if you want the ideas of why Hasidim always are, do it on your own. What is the difference of a Hasidish approach and a non-Hasidish approach? One of the things is the feel that I don't need a Rebbe. I can't serve God on my own, because as far as you go, and even if you will go, you will always remain an entity. The point of a Rebbe is that he's a window. He's a total transparent being. He's bottled the mitzvahs. He's a conduit for divinity, for God's light. Everything you do, and that's why I mentioned the Rebbe says that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to, the Jews had to bring the Mishkan to Moshe. Because for the Mishkan to be a home for God, it needed that state of total bittul. And that state of total bittul can only come from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is the power of Ma, of total bittul to Hashem. He has that ability. We can't do it on our own, because we can bring it only to that state. Ubchinas mad, what are we holding? Ubchinas mad zehanimshach levar haman. And this mad, this masculine waters, that is drawn down to mimavar the man, the nukfa of the woman, zehu madregis Yosef atzadik. This is Yosef, because we know that Yosef is Yesod. Yesod is what connects to Malchus. So Yosef is that transmitter from above. Shehu ubchinas. What is Yosef? Yosef is the river that goes from Eden to the Gan. The river is what? The river stems from Chachma, and it carries it through the whole realm of Atzilus until Malchus, to imbue Malchus with the waters of Chachma. But Yosef is that river. So he brings it all the way down to Yosef Atzadik Shubchanas Nor Yotzim Eden Lahashkes Esagan to water the garden. Shagan Ubchanas Malchus, the Gan is the Malchus. Va'aksham Nimshach Bchanas Nor Hanaviyam Oirin Seif Baruch. And until that place, the river of Ein Sof, the flowing of it. This is the radiance of the little thread of light, which ends by Malchus. Doesn't go further because afterwards starts the realm of creation. It's not drawn in Biyah. But in other words, from the God, from the way Hashem created the world, it goes to Malchus and it stops there. The point of Yosef is, with the assistance of Malchus together, is that we're together with the Shvatim to bring, to extend the truth of Atzilus into Bri Yetzir Asiya. But how does he do that? It's done through Malchus picking everything up to herself, to the level of Malchus, and then Yesoid, and imbues it with real bittul, with real, and which means, in other words, it includes it in God. That's why there are worlds of separation. There begins separation. That's the idea of a tzaddik. The concept of tzaddik is, in Kabbalah, the idea of tzaddik is to bind heaven and earth. The tzaddik is called the amud. Tzaddik is sod olam. He is the foundation of the world that brings heaven and earth together. Yosef is tzaddik. The Yosef is the tzaddik. Shemekasher umamshich. Ha'aretz erin soif b'biyah. Rabbi Jacobson always tells the story of the Rebbe once. There was something involved, it's an issue, I want to get into it now, in New York. They were going to do something extremely despicable in schools and whatever, and the Rebbe was very, very upset about it. And the Rebbe was like, the Rebbe wanted it to be written in newspapers, but it was something that it didn't fit like in Jewish newspapers because it wasn't a nice subject, or if you might say it's neistic a subject, but still, it was something that was going to create such a tumma in the world, such a this that the Rebbe was very. The Rebbe was asking Rabbi Jacobson Sr., the Allgemeine Journal, like, tell me. So he said, I'm getting terrible feedback. He printed it, and then people were saying, like, well, you're writing about this in Jewish newspapers, this and that. It was like a whole tumult. And so then he heard the Rebbe, because he was on the phone, the Rebbe said, Ich ken nicht aushalten, as mir reist avek oylem asiyah fin atzilis. So I can't stand that our physical world is not reflecting the truths of atzilis. As our world really has to, but sometimes there are certain trends in the world that just don't fit with the godly, with the, what it is. That's the point of a tzaddik. The tzaddik is to make that the way the world runs down here should be in the same, to extend the influence of Atzilus into Olam Asiyah, Yesod, to bring down that bit. So now, the Nimtza, we were holding, Elsie. She Yosef u tzaddik, she makasher, that he binds, umam shecha arisir in sof bibiyah. He connects the influence of the Ein Sof in biyah. And that is Ayidei Shanefroim Nechloam B'Pchenas Man B'Malchus Tatsilus. That takes place through the Nevroim, first being absorbed in Malchus Tatsilus Keniskaliel. The Yosef Mamshech, and Yosef adds, Ha'ores Oirin Tzayf Baruch Hu B'Malchus. Yosef adds the finishing touch. He extends the Ein Sof into Malchus Levarer Es Aman, to rectify the man, to give that final Bebidur Sheni, a second purification. It should become totally united with Hashem, Kenizkaliel. And this means the aura of the kav and the little thread, the erin soif of ain soif. The river goes out to give water to the Kenizkaliel. And it comes out, Madregis Abidur di Yosef, Yosef's level of refinement, who Abidur Shalashvatim. It's way, way above and beyond. That's bringing creation to its highest capacity. This is integrating the creation into the Creator. Shebidur shel hashvatim u'shamay l'man b'malchus tatzilus. They can only go as far as the field. So they're able to do this. V'adayin lo nehepech l'lekus mamish. It hasn't been transformed literally to God, into godliness. Atche Yosef mamshach hamad. So Yosef is the one who draws the mad. Shu'aris oirin tzav, the masculine waters, which is the energy of the Ein Sof. Shemalubish b'chachma, that is enclosed in chachma. Shazel v'nar yoytze me'eden, that's why the river comes from Eden. The river is really the Ein Sof light that flows through chachma. U'b'chachma is biridu bitter bays. Chachma does that second bitter. V'azei nichlal haman belukus. And then the man gets bottled in Alakus Mamish. Shuiskawalus Yehudi Tato be Yehudi Elah. And this also gives clarity. Just think, if you read a little about the Hasidim, and you read about those Hasidim that were so, they davened and they were so, they reached such high levels of total emergence with Elikus, like, and then they walked into the Rebbe and they stood there and the Rebbe would say like sharp statements to them or like his way, and they were like, why? Because it was that they needed that second purification. As high as they can go, they still needed those words of extended from a divine channel to like to pick the whole thing up infinitely above where they were, totally to a different realm. We are all in the field. We're bundles, picking up the sparks from Biyah. We can only get up the Malchus canal. So Yosef, oh, but here the question is, why is Yosef one of the ones who is also originally bundling in the field? Everything has to be accurate. Yosef doesn't say, you are bundling. He says, we were bundling. According to this, they should bundle the bundles, and then Yosef comes, and he comes, and he picks it up. What's the point of we're all bundling? He says, because Yosef, it's true that Yosef is from the world of Atzilus. He's an incarnation of an energy of Atzilus. Since he came down in a body, there is some element of creation like to him that he had to first refine. So Yosef also had to refine himself at first to that level of the peak of creation can reach. But then his true Yosef emerged, which is the higher element of Yosef, which is something which is completely divine. But first you have to join them in the bitter, which means every tzaddik is not born, you're born with the capability to be a tzaddik, but you first have to work through the issues. You got to work and toil and do a certain avodah of refining the body, because the body is still a body. So the body, being that the body is still physical, it has been affected in the descent of Shviras HaKelim, and you have to lift it up. The Yosef Atzmoy bitter Zeharisha, and first Yosef did this bitter Gamke. Av Sheshar Shem Mishem Ma Datzilus, even though Yosef doesn't come from Bam, his root is really the name of Ma. Shehubchena Samadi, from the masculine aspect. Afo Piken, nevertheless, Ma'acha Shenes Labish B'mata B'guf, since after all he enclosed himself in a body, Hoyetzarech Lavarer bitter Zeharatachta, he first had to be, do first the lower bitter. Gamke, Keshar Echav, like the rest of his brothers. V'zehu v'hinei anachnu ma'almen. We were all bundled. Shekulonu shavim b'zeh. We were all equal in this. Lahalis man b'malchus. To rise up the feminine waters of malchus. Elisha achara b'ruzeh. After this bitter, v'hinei kamal imos. My thing stood up. He stood up in the middle. Shenimtza boi ma'ili yaseira. He's far superior to all of them. Mitzad shorshoi b'shem ma datzilus. Because his root is in the name of ma. Shal yedei zeh madrigosoi. As a result of this, his madrega is lahoyder mad, to drink down the masculine waters, levarer bitter sheni, to do that, to give it that extra oomph, the extra purity, as haman shekvar helu b'malchus, that which David already brought up, Yosef will take it from there and on. Or bitter is that ein b'kayach shar shvat. They couldn't do the second stage shehin b'bria, because their beginning is in bria, not in atzilus, so they don't embody the energy of atzilus, so they couldn't do it. Shalamata mata matzilus. They're far, far, far lower than him. Vezehu, and this is also, by the way, this also, you know, gives us insight into something else. Some people wonder, and you say, like, if this person is such a big tzaddik and he's such a this and this, how come other great tzaddikim and other people they didn't understand and this and that and they don't? And the answer is because the shvatim were way, 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 way below Yosef. And they're throwing him into the pit. And they're burying him and calling him the heretic and the non-believer and the upper... And he's in a shama of Atzilus. And they're all the way down there. And they're... But that's the confusion that goes on in the world, because you come into bodies, you don't always see things as they really are. V'zehu, and this is the idea, of tisibenu amulisechem, v'tishtachavenu lamlimasi. Your things have surrounded themselves, and they bow down to... V'pchenas bitul mamish. They have to first surrender themselves in total nullification. That's why they have to bow to Yosef. This answers so many questions. Not bowing, but because this week someone was challenging me with the Rebbe, this is idol worship. You see that they couldn't connect themselves to Likus without their things bowing, meaning surrendering. It doesn't mean bowing to him. Bowing to what he represents. giving yourself over to that energy. Ki mebelad de hamad de Yosef, because if not for that transmitting of Yosef, lo nichlal haman shalahem belakus, it couldn't be rise in godliness. Mamish. Raksha yedei hamad de Yosef, it's through this masculine energy of Yosef, shemavarer birabei, that does that second bir, sheyichlu bebitul amiti dama, that is able to be absorbed in the real bitul of ma, that's what they had to bow, va'azu shenichlal belakus, and then it got totally unified in godliness, kenizkel el mentioned above. Now we're going to take this one step further. Lahavin to understand. I'm going to finish, so we'll take questions in the end. Vehine lahavin to understand. To understand this at greater, the idea that they bow down to mine. What's the bowing? Gam inyan acholam hasheni. Yosef has a second dream. That was another 3 pages. No. Yosef has a second dream. What was the second dream? Again, the bowing. Everybody's bowing to Yosef. Who's bowing to him in the second time? The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars. So the 11 stars are his brothers. The sun and the moon is his father and his mother. So this, he said, this is not understood. We understand the brothers, they were lower than him. But his father is his source. The father is higher than him. So how is it be that Yaakov is bowing to Yosef? What does that mean? This is referring to Yaakov. And so you'll say maybe it was incorrect. No, but it says his father was waiting for it. He was waiting for the fulfillment. Eich yitachin, how can it be she Yaakov shulamayla mamadregim Yosef? Yaakov, which is much higher than Yosef, ki ubchenas guf. Yaakov is considered the body itself of Atzilus. Avram is the right hand. Yitzchak is the left hand. Avram is the torso, the main part of the body. The Yosef ubchenas bris. Yosef is considered the bris. Va'afal gav, the guf the bris kechada. Even though these are two together, but nevertheless, makom makom, who gevaya. The body itself is higher. Tiferes is higher than Yosef. If that's the case, how can it be that Yaakov is met? Imken eich yishtachav el Yosef. How is he bound to Yosef? Is that tamua? This is wonders. Ach inyan, the idea is ki yishtachvoya kolelas beis v'chinos. There's two inyanim in bowing. Till now we spoke the whole concept of bowing is when you acknowledge the supremacy of a being and you totally nullify yourself to that being. That's the idea of bowing down. I'm not you are. I'm nullified to you. That was the bowing of the brothers. But there's something else to bowing. When you bow, part of the bowing is you're not being, but you're also doing a showing of a flow. You're drawing downward. Which means that, for example, we're supposed to say Baruch. When we say Baruch, we bow. Now Baruch means to draw down. Why are we bowing by the word Baruch? And the reason for that is because when we submit ourselves to Hashem utterly, that turns us into a vessel. It's that very surrender of ego and the surrender of bowing down, of recognition that He is the source of everything and we need to come on to Him. That itself evokes and stimulates Him to bestow, to give. So the bowing includes both our surrender to Him and His influence and His pouring to us. So in the Shvatim He's going to explain, their bowing involved two parts. Number one, it involved they recognizing Yosef as being greater than them and nullifying them, or in avod it means a person reaching the highest, serving, nullifying himself to Hashem to the utmost, that idea. And then what happens then? And also the bowing was that Yosef is going to transmit to them. He's going to give to them. He's going to Yosef is going to give to Malchus. Yaakov's bowing was only the second part. Yaakov's bowing was only Hamshach. Because Yaakov is above. So the bowing of Yaakov means when they bowed, they cause Yosef to influence, but how is it going to Yosef? It's coming through the body down to Yesod, into the woman, into the Shechina, and so that's the idea of Yaakov. Let me explain that over here. Ha'echot, two types of kolos beis b'chinas. Ha'echot b'chinas bitul, shabatul u'mishtachav, he's nullified. K'moi v'tzva ha'shamayim l'cha mishtachavim, the heavenly hosts bow down to you. Shehem is batlim. The beis, and the second one, u'inyan ha'mshachav. The second bowing is Shamarkin Roishai. When you're bowing, you're pulling your head down. That's the transmitter transmitting to the one below. I'm going down. Instead, I'm upright. Now I'm bowing down. I mean, I'm like a parent bowing down to a child. Two types of bowing. He's not bowing down because he's inferior to the child. He's bowing down the child so that he can give the child and transmit to the child. So Yaakov is bowing in that manner. The truth is that one is dependent on the other. From below, It's through bowing down and surrendering yourself, you cause the one above to bow to you, to draw down. It's also known through the bowing down of Shemon Esrei. But Omri, when we say Baruch Ata Hashem, what is Baruch Ata Hashem? Total subservience to Hashem. Shubchen is bitul nullification. But v'gam hamshacha. Baruch means to draw. It's also hamshach. Al yedei shemarkin roishoy. So when you're symbolizing both surrender, when a person is bowing down by Shemon Esrei, you're simultaneously acting as two. You're acting as the recipient nullifying, and you are the embodiment of the transmitter transmitting. So you're bowing your head. So you're like, at that moment, you're the embodiment of God transmitting through you. It's amazing. You're the creation nullifying yourself, and you're the creator. You're moving that motion. You're assuming the total unity with Hashem. That's an amazing point. Because you're, at that moment of davening, it's both. Al yedei, agam hamshachar, al yedei shamar ken roishay, through the bowing of the head. Umamshich mepchenas baruch, bepchenas ata. You're drawing from Baruch into the level of Atta, Kamavu, Pri Yetz Chaim, as explained in Pri Yetz Chaim, from the Rizal. And based on that, we'll understand what it means you bow to my. When they rose feminine waters in Malchus, and they had to evoke Yosef to give the masculine waters, Atzilus, which is ultimately, that's the main bitter. The masculine waters cannot be drawn. That's the thing. The man will not transmit to the woman unless the woman had first initiated and evoked within the man the desire that he should transmit. Because the bracha cannot dwell in an empty place. Only when there is a keli. When there is a vessel, then there is light. And the feminine preparation is the keli. It's the vessel amatz for the masculine waters. In order that they should evoke Damshachas Madi Yosef, that they had to first rise to the highest they can, Dashvatim. Bepchenas Bitul, in total Bitul, La'oyded Damshachazu, to evoke by Yosef, in other words, to evoke by Hashem, who is being channeled through Yosef, to transmit. Begam Yuvanzem, a Mashal Gashmi, this will also be understood from the physical Mashal, Bezivuk Zachar and Akeva, in the Zivuk of, in the coming together of male and female, She'en Kishri El Ladas. So the man could not transmit only when the woman had first evoked him. The taiva of the zachar, meaning the desire to transmit, must come first from the woman recipient. The zehu, and this is the idea of in order to get Yosef to be an aluma in the middle, to stand up, to get that, this was that. We can almost call this the seduction, of the shvatim, calling out and stimulating Yosef's response. They made the keli. They rose the feminine water, and that caused by them surrendering. They accomplished two. First of all, it expressed their bittul la'orein tzayif to the infinite one. Habez. They stimulated Ein Sof to flow through them, to give to them. Shal yedeza asu gam ken hamshacha. Sheyum shach hamad, the masculine water should flow. Dehainu sheyum shach oir Ein Sof bebchenas Yosef. That the oir Ein Sof should be transmitted into Yosef, and through them, he's the conduit, and through Yosef into the world. Hamshacha zu sheasu hem, they created it. Dehainu sheyum shach bebchenas oir pnimi beYosef. They were the ones who caused the light to channel through Yosef into them. V'amnam mishtachva the Yaakov. Yaakov is above Yosef. So when Yaakov is bowing, it's only Hamshacha. It's not surrendering. He draw down the power of Makif to Yosef. And now we have to understand, why did the Shvatim then hate Yosef? Why did they like him? The reason why they hated Yosef, because of his dreams, they made one mistake. Yosef is known, ki yedua be'inyan shashamal. What he's going to say is one point. He says that there is already a source for Shvatim in already in Atzilus also. The Shvatim also, nothing can start in Bria. Bria is, as things evolve, things can. So there is a source of the Shvatim already in Atzilus. There is the number of 12 is already significant in Atzilus also. There is the Yud Beis Gevulei Alachsin. the 12 diagonal things that have to do with the 6 and 6 as they the points of, how does it work? You have Chesed, Gevurah, Tveres, Netzach, Chod, Yesod. So when the 6, I think it's somehow the crossing of the things, of the energy cross, something like that, it creates 12 channels, 12 things. So that is already an Atzilus, that's already before Bria, there is an aspect of 12. So that's, and this is hinted to, where it says, we learned about this once in Parshas Pekudei Maimer, it says, Shasham Olu Shvatim, the Shvatim went up there, that's in the world of Atzilus, Shiftei Ka, they went up, they would ascend, when the Yidden would go, the 12 tribes would be, once a year, they would go up to Yerushalayim, they would go to the Beis HaMikdash, that was entering into the realm of Atzilus. And all the Shvatim would go up, and then they would be called Shiftei Ka, Shvatim of Yutke. Yutke is Chachman Bina. They're called descendants of Chachman Bina because they're associated with the 6 attributes which are direct children of Yutke, Shiftei Ka, extensions of Yutke. So they knew that there is that love. So they thought that that's where the problem is. It's true that their source of their source is in that place. But as they descended, they did not embody that energy. They were only connected, as they were below down here, to the 12 bakar, to the 12 oxen of Bria. So they were not linked up with that godly dimension of the Shvatim. They were human Shvatim. They were finite Shvatim, not godly Shvatim. They were not connected to Yosef, even while he was down here below, was the embodiment of the energy of Atzilus. He was like Moshe Rabbeinu in the sense that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, as he stood before Paro and he was talking politics with Paro, was still Elokus of Atzilus. He was still in that total state of Bittul Tashem. And that was the Yosef, it says also that the Shvatim, they couldn't, Yosef as high as he was, can go the lowest. That's why Yosef was able to be a Mitzrayim and be a king and run the fears of the most powerful country in the world, literally run the economy of this, and at the same time be totally nullified in Hashem's light. That has to do with his source. Okay, so let's read it over here. Ki b'yidua, it is known b'yin shasham al shvatim shiftei ka sheyaz b'chenas yud beis gvulei alachsin b'zad atzilus. In the 6 attributes called the air ramp in the small continent of Atzilus, there's already 12. V'nikra shiftei ka, there is shvatim, and there's a level where they're called shiftei ka. Shenimshachem ma'aba ve'ima, they drawn direct line. Olazoi sabru ha'shvatim, the shvatim thought shalamata shashar sham. They thought that the root is from there. Ve'im came in b'vedriga achasim Yosef, and then on one level with Yosef. Shakulam sharsham mizad Atzilus. They thought that they're all on the same level of Atzilus. Ve'im came ain't tzirichem loy. They don't need him. B'shulam shachas mad. They don't need the godly thing to flow through Yosef. Sharei kamayu kamayhem. Like him, they are. Meshayrish echad from the same root, mepchenazal from the level of zal. Shemeshamam shachas amad. That's where you draw the masculine waters. Avol tov is that this was their mistake. Ki emes sheshar sham izal. It's true that their root is from that place, from Zeiram and Kines Galiel. Avol him baatzmam lamata bebria. They themselves, their soul station, is in the world of bria. Kines Galiel bechinas yud beis bakar. They're the 12 bakar. Shayam oimed aleim. They're beneath the malchus, and they're the 12 is. That's why all they can reach is to bring back the creation to be included in Malchus. Which isn't the case, Yosef down below. He himself is the level of Yesod, of Atzilus Mamish. And therefore, he was the only one who can draw the masculine waters. And they needed him. Your bundles surrounded me so that I can bring it up, Kiniskali El, as mentioned above, and that is the mind. The Alter Rebbe hits